Charles, Charles, are you there?
My mic was on mute.
Professional, boys.
Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy. Interstellar Gaming Podcast.
I'm Brian Wade, and I'll be your captain today.
Pew, 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 pew.
How you? Woof. How you doing? It's Stuart, and I'm back as a gunner. And you'll be glad to hear I'll get promoted from vending machine technician grade 3 to now I go about checking the hum of the lights in the ship. It's very exciting. Very lovely.
Very important.
Very exciting.
And I'm Vader, and I'm the crew chef. I'm just stuck down here in the bottom cooking food for everybody all day.
That will explain the food poisoning we've had for the last 6 months.
I'm a good cook, thank you very much.
And this is Gamer's Guide to the Galaxy, Episode 2, and... Sorry, was that... Was that the hitchhiker alert? Do we have a hitchhiker aboard?
I believe we do.
Stuart, bring him up to the bridge. Wait a minute! That's my good friend Joe. Joe, hello. How are you?
This doesn't look like Christian Stewart's dressing room. Where the hell am I?
this is you're aboard the spaceship that we I don't think we've named yet. Despite being 3 episodes into this podcast,
spaceship good and plenty.
It's the spaceship Christian Stewart's dressing room. Joe, you were you're going to guest on the show with us today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name's Joe. I host a comic book podcast. Any nerds that like video games and like comic books, come check me out. It's called Comic Book Rundown. I work with Brian.
It's true.
Not here on the spaceship, but.
But off the spaceship.
I didn't know about this spaceship until just now. I like video games. I like comic books. I like movies.
That's why we brought you on today.
Yes.
And also because there's a quarantine on and we're all very bored. So I thought maybe this would be a good way for us to socialize since we can't see each other.
Yes, there is that.
While keeping 2 meters distance, either side.
Yeah. Six feet apart, though, still.
Yep. Yes, of course.
All of our seats on the bridge are in accordance with the CDC guidelines.
I didn't know you actually had a hitchhiker seat over here.
Yeah.
I figure
we'll probably have hitchhikers once in a while, so we'll have a seat for them.
Deck chair. Rusty old deck chair.
It's not bolted down.
Look.
Duct taped down.
It holds our dinner sometimes. That's what stains them.
Some Vindaloo.
But you know, other than that, we've got pretty much the normal show going on for you today. So why don't we get into it, Charles? It looks like you've had maybe the most exciting day outside of the week or whatever outside of video games. So why don't you tell us about making a chair and a bottle rocket?
Yes, I will. Keeping it in theme with space stuff. Well, not the chair. I'll start with the chair.
I launched the chair.
I don't know. As previously discussed, like 30 seconds ago, chairs are pretty spacey.
That's true,
and roomy too.
I'm still working from home, but obviously I've got my kids with us, and my daughter is getting extremely bored, and she has turned into a 3-year-old who needs. Attention all the time, and so she just
despite being much older than 3 years.
Yes,
old.
Yeah, and
sounds like me.
And I think it's just the isolation. She just wants to be involved with stuff, and so she came to me and was like, "I want to make something." And we've had some pallets. I assume you guys call them pallets over in your countries, the wooden things they put shipping boxes on.
Yeah, wooden pallets.
Yeah, cool. You never know. English is weird. And yes, we've had a few lying around the backyard for a few months now, meaning to do something with them, and haven't. And so I pulled one apart, and we made a little throne chair for my daughter to sit in. And she loves it so much, she dragged it inside and sat inside when there was a completely comfortable leather couch right next to her, but she preferred to sit on her brand new wooden chair.
Perfect.
So it was just keeping myself busy. Last time I made, I think I talked about my Dragon Ball lamp.
Dragon Ball lamp.
Yeah. So
you did talk about the Dragon Ball lamp.
Yep. So I haven't done as much DIY random projects as I thought I would have, because I've been busy with games and work, but it's still fun to do
them.
So
you're basically a table away if you're just building a full-blown extension?
Yep.
Put it in the back of your house. Is that what we're kind of getting here?
Well, we're actually, me and my mum, we're going to... My mum lives with us, for those who don't know. Joe, you don't know that.
I do now.
We were going to build... We've got chickens, and we're going to build a bigger chicken coop. And so the pellets were going to be used to go towards that. But she's since just ordered a pre-made American kit set made up of EcoFlex.
Fall apart in 2 weeks.
Well, they emailed her.
He said American, not IKEA.
Yeah. but they weren't going to ship it. And then they asked her, like, if it was an emergency, and she said, well, our current one's kind of getting a bit falling apart. And they said, we'll see what we can do. It might be essential because the chickens need a house. So that might be my next project.
Chickens do need a house.
And then the other project we did yesterday, again, she was wanting lots of attention. So I put down Final Fantasy VII for a while, and we made bottle rockets with vinegar and baking soda and launched them into the sky.
Excellent.
That's actually kind of fun.
I feel like you're pretty close to making the science fair volcano also.
She wanted to do that, and I said, that's boring. Let's do a rocket instead.
Yeah, bottle rocket's more fun.
I did get it to work, which was good. Did have a misfire at first, and I sprayed myself in the face with vinegar.
Stung.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. And then we got one that went really high, like super high, and it was really cool. And then we had another one that kind of, because of eco-friendliness, we had paper straws, which aren't very good for long-lasting stability.
Yeah, it seems like they disintegrate pretty fast.
Yes.
Probably melt it in real time.
And so it kept started falling over, and so I had to pick it up as it was about to fire, and I almost got myself.
Oh, man.
And it launched onto our roof, and it was really awesome. And so then we decided to invite the... Across the street, we have neighbors with a few little kids who which obviously they can't play with my kids at the moment, but we rang them up and they came out and watched from across the street. And then our neighbor next to us, Aria, jumped on the fence and he was in his backyard and called him over to have a look. And then it wouldn't work. I had put new straws on, so I didn't, because I don't want to misfire and shoot towards them. So I put new straws on the bottle, and it wasn't working, and it finally went, but it was half height. It was still a spectacle, and the kids liked it, but it wasn't as good as my first fire. But it was fun. So everyone, go do bottle rockets. Let's get it started. Let's just send it a craze of coronavirus lockdown bottle rockets. It's good and bad.
I will not be using a pocket rocket, Charles.
Isn't that just like a motorbike? That's what people call motorbikes, aren't they?
That's a crotch rocket. That's a different thing.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what a pocket rocket is.
Let's not talk about it on our family-friendly podcast. Stuart, have you been doing anything other than playing video games in the past period of time since our last podcast?
No. That lockdown's in full effect. It's there's not much you can do here.
Yep, I feel you.
Go and buy food or go and buy medicine, and either I'm not sick or I'm not hungry. what day is it? It ends in a Y, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. I have had a couple of days where I've forgotten what day it is.
Yeah, it's not exactly a throw a minute at the moment, but you know. You got to make hay when the sun shines, so... just, like I say, surviving, not particularly thriving, so... Yeah, we'll see. It seems to be as well. We'll talk about the cheery stuff in the Corona update down the line.
Yeah, I don't know how much I have for that, but if other people do, then...
So, you know. Yeah, we'll leave that there, because we're getting into... I think Marlborough would call the next couple of weeks... Well, next week, probably, Flavor Country. So, I'll save that. But, still here and still going. Yay.
Good, good. Well, the only thing I've done, not video game related, but still semi-video game related, is I watched the Sonic movie this past week.
Did you like it?
It was fine. It was entertaining enough. I completely lost my shit when he flossed multiple times in the movie. because that is such a, like, wildly accurate thing for, like, a child to be doing. Because he's still basically a child in that movie, right? And as someone who has seen some children flossing over the past couple years, nonstop, Joe, you know,
as we're walking through the convention center. Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah. I don't remember if I talked about it on Dark Inside or not back in the day, but when I went to Star Wars Celebration, I went with Joe,
cool.
It was Joe, his girlfriend, Emily, and then both of their children. And,
My daughter, apparently she is 13. Well, at the time she was 12, but she has like this nervous.
Apparently she's 13.
Whatever. She has this nervous habit of not sitting still like most kids, and she would have to do something with her hands or floss or move. And I'm just like, stop, seriously.
Yes, I think your daughter was mostly doing the whip at that point in time. That was Bella's move, was to do the whip.
Yeah, she does the floss here in the house every once in a while.
Yeah, and I've seen Cassie do the floss several times as well. So,
I never thought I'd get to the age where I'm like, I don't understand these kids.
But turns out that age is like mid 30s.
Yeah, it is. Maybe before that. So myself, I've just been editing my podcast, like I mentioned earlier. It's a comic book podcast. Yes, I will promote it. Thanks for asking.
I was going to let you do that now and at the end if you wanted to, so that's fine.
No, we cover a very satirical, very making fun of, really, comic book story arcs from comics past.
The only way you can. You make fun of them because you love them.
Oh, God, man. I found some good, like, Captain America and Iron Man, like, early 60s Marvel books that I've never read Marvel. I'm like, these are so bad, but I love them because they're so bad. We release an episode three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They're about 10 to 25-ish minutes long a piece. Basically, one issue, one episode. And so, like, you can listen to just the one episode, or you can listen to the whole arc, which tends to be between 4 to 6 episodes, sometimes 7, sometimes longer.
So, like, an hour and a half per arc.
Close to 2 sometimes. It all depends. My co-host Ron and I, who is my best friend, we get off on so many tangents.
Wait, I was your best friend.
Yeah, no.
Well, you're
it's all coming in.
Look, you didn't tell me, but you had a spaceship. So,
That's fair. That's fair. I didn't tell you I had a spaceship.
we get off on tangents left and right. So I have to try and cut them down to about 15 minutes. Normally, an episode is about half an hour, and it's a lot of bullshit on there.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Editing is, and I love it, but editing is, I'm editing a lot less, if that makes sense. Like, good. I do keep a lot more things in that I probably shouldn't, but whatever, it's my podcast.
Yeah, exactly, man. You make what you want to make.
Exactly. Oh, and then especially since just recently I started doing, with all this quarantine, what I've been calling Chitty Chats, which is basically what you guys do here at the beginning of the show and just kind of talk about what's going on. And that seems to be a success right now. Those are about 45 minutes each and 30 to 45 minutes. And I just release those whenever I make them. Like, they're just something new that I'm starting, and I'm kind of like it. So
cool.
Let's see. The other thing, I've been trying to catch up on James Bond because I'm behind on those. Like, forever.
Wildly behind.
Wildly. Look, hey, actually, you know, it's not as bad as the I need Spectre's my last one I need to watch. I haven't watched that one yet.
And I failed Joe today. I thought that I had Spectre on Blu-ray. I do not. I only
turns out he
Skyfall
has up to
Blu-ray.
Quantum Solace.
I do have Skyfall also.
Did you get Quantum Skyfall? Okay.
Yeah, Skyfall was in the box. Blunt. I just didn't. I thought that box set went to Spectre, not to.
Gotcha.
Not just
Quantum
the Skyfall.
Solace is the worst one in the world. How it's bad is the body?
That earlier today.
So see, I enjoyed it because I was able to watch Casino Royale just before it. So those
Casino
two compliment
was good.
It was
Quantum
it was
Solace.
Amazing.
The baddies, the waterboard. It's like, how bad is it? Like, right, Tomorrow Never Dies, the baddie owns a newspaper. Now, that's a bit kind of weird because obviously I work for a newspaper. So I'm waiting to find your stealth boat docked in the basement because God knows I would love to work on the stealth boat. I keep asking.
That,
I don't get a chance.
I mean, that one was weird. Tomorrow Never Dies was weird.
Tomorrow Never Dies is okay, but like I say, the story runs kind of weird with a megalomaniac making the news, kind of weird transitions into the world. Whereas Quantum Solace, it's like it's the waterboard, the Bolivian waterboard as well, not just the normal waterboard. It's like, and the big fight, where's your big fight? And I'll learn, not it's in a hotel. What? Ah, it's in a hotel in the desert.
I mean, that was kind of cool.
He drives a Ford Fiesta, a Ford car. Why? Just because Ford's gave his money. Why is anyone Aston Martin? It's also the one with the guy brushing the floor, but he isn't anywhere near the floor. It's a good 2 foot off the floor. I don't know if you've seen that.
I don't remember that part.
See the bit in the docks where he's on the motorbike looking kind of moody just before he jumps in his Fiesta, his car, should I say. There's a guy brushing the floor, but the brush is like a good 2 feet off the floor. People have made loads of gifs of them. Which is quite funny, but it says everything about that film.
I just don't like this. Awesome. I don't like the current James Bond. I don't like him.
Actually, Daniel Craig,
I don't know. I don't mind him.
He keeps doing these like pursed lips. He like those. I hate it. He's always putting his lips out.
So
he does have a pretty pinched face. You're right.
Yeah, but it works for him. Like it. Yeah. I do like Daniel Craig. Like I loved. Mm-hmm. Knives Out. Like, he made that movie.
I haven't watched that movie yet. I'm very sorry.
Oh, you need to watch that movie. The movie's amazing.
Yeah, it's not James Bond.
Hey, you know what, though? It's not as bad as me waiting, what, almost a year to watch John Wick 2 finally?
Yes. Yeah, which you finally did.
I actually enjoyed it. It was
after
really good.
My urging for years.
I will say I was really happy that at the very beginning they were very self-aware, saying that, you know, he's killing all these people because we stole his car and killed his dog. Like, okay, good job, guys.
That's what's all about. I mean, best thing for revenge.
Yeah, well, it was, too. I mean, it was his wife's car, or he had all of his wife's stuff.
Well, his wife bought him the dog before she died.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, the car was just his.
It had a letter, like the final letter from her in the glove box.
Mm. Yes.
So
there was lots of shooting. Pew pew pew.
Joe, did you watch John Wick 3?
Not yet. Okay. That'll be on this weekend.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing your opinion on that one because that movie goes fucking places. Let me tell you.
Well, again, at the very end, everybody's a goddamn. Sorry. Everybody's an assassin. I'm just like,
oh, you can curse. It's fine.
Oh, okay, you said it was family friendly.
It was a
joke. Took the heart. Family friendly spaceship.
That's the problem. We're doing a podcast in space. Nobody can hear us.
Yeah.
Oh,
huh.
See, it's called a mutiny.
Nice.
And the ship's not got a name. It's called the Bounty.
It does have a name. It's Kristen Stewart's dressing room. We just discussed that.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't accept that. I'm going to have a staff meeting later for
Look,
that.
I was just looking for her dressing room. I didn't say you had to name it that.
And you found it. That's all I'm saying.
Yay. Okay. Fair enough.
So, what's everybody been doing quarantine wise? How you been doing?
It's the bit we promised we'd never return, but it's returned.
Yeah, let's get real depressing for a minute.
I kind of like it.
I watched Matt Damon's
not going to work
movie.
That's nice.
That was interesting and quite surreal. My, what is it? No quarantine. Containment? Containment, is it? Something like that. It's Containment, Quarantine, something like that. It's like Matt Damon, Jude Law, Lawrence Fishburne, Gwyneth Paltrow. It's a big, massive star cast. It was made a few years ago. It's on Netflix. But it's theoretically what's happening in the world right now, but it's got a higher death rate.
Was it Contagion? Is that what was that
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, that's it. I went round the, I knew it was something to do with that. I went round the houses. I got there in the end. Yeah, it's a pretty trippy watch. Especially the bit at the end, because it kind of shows you how the virus came into life. And it involved a bat, oddly enough. A bat and a banana. Just don't trust bats and bananas. Yeah, and there's a kind of grey area where it goes from being this is an outbreak and this is it to full-blown looting. I'm like, yeah, you've kind of missed a bit in between, because we're kind of right at that bit. And then it goes for this, the bit we're at right now in real world terms, to full blown looting and martial law. And I'm like, you missed a bit. But then I was thinking, what I was saying was, well, this is just spaced in America. So it's probably going to be like that in America. Isn't it? It's just going to go straight for, we've got a problem, to folks smashing shops and stealing TVs. You know, it's the natural escalation.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close to that.
I do have to say that I'm pretty surprised that I haven't been hearing more stories of people looting and stuff.
There was a tiny bit of it here because they closed all the pubs. Mm-hmm. A lot of people tried to break into the pubs to get the
of
drink.
Of course. But, you got to get to the Winchester and let this all blow over, right?
Yeah. But it was like the first three or four days of it, it kind of was a thing, and then it kind of sort of disappeared. Now it's just the cops shouting to people for being in the park. But
love it.
As I was saying, you know, I think the next 7 days is going to be flavor country, because it seems to be the peak is going to hit in the next 7 days.
Yeah.
And it seems every day on the news, it's like, it's getting there. It's on the great, every week it's went for like 200, 300, 400. I think it's like 500 are dead now in Scotland. Something like 8,000 in the UK. So it's climbing very, very rapidly. So, but they're saying that the isolation's working. Although,
yeah, but we have to keep it up. Like the problem is that everybody keeps hearing, oh, the isolation's working, like it's going down. That means we can all go outside again. Like, yeah. No, we fucking can't. We have to stay inside.
I was going to say, this is the naivety of me. I take it it's Easter in your part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday is Easter. Yes.
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah. See, I know Mother's Day's a holiday that moves in the world to different days. Like the Americans have it at the other end of the year, where we have it at the start of the year.
I don't even know when Mother's Day is this year.
Mother's Day is usually in...
Isn't it like early May? Yes.
Yeah,
May 10th.
Yeah, because May, because then June is Father's Day.
Yep.
We had Mother's Day last month.
Okay, yeah. So it's May for us.
Easter's based on the lunar calendar. It's same for everybody.
It's based on chocolate eggs. Anyway.
I've got some things to say about Easter and eggs when we get to the video games we've been playing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The flashback BTS. But they're saying this weekend it's very, very warm. It's very, very nice, actually. They're just they're saying a lot of people might just throw caution at the wind and just go outside. And
then everybody's going to get sick. And then we're fucked even longer.
Yeah, but then what I'm thinking as well is, I was saying to my missus, like, looking at it, realistically, see, we stay in, everyone's fine and dandy, it comes, it goes, blah, blah, blah. Really, for the non-infected, they really want to have the antivirus thing, or the whatever you want to call it, because technically, if we all go back out and it's still there in some remote form, it could just start up again.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm kind of, I'm looking really deep into it, but it was kind of like, I'm like, in a way, I kind of wish I kind of get it and get rid of it as quick as, just so I'm ready to go back to life.
Yeah, whereas, I get that for sure.
When I go back out there, the new, it's going to be a bit crazy, because you're kind of like, well, is it possible for me to catch it again? Because I noticed the new, they're talking about how Wuhan, is going back to normal. And they're, 5 months, give or take, down the line, for the first outbreak, or their first case. And I'm just kind of like, how do you know it's gone, but how do you know it's no working round every corner and stuff? And I think it's a case of...
It's going to be the boogeyman.
For the wrong haul.
It's going to be the boogeyman for a while.
If I'm back in my office before August... I'll eat my hat. I'll be really surprised, because I don't know. It's just weird. It seems to be as well that you can only report on so much news on it, and then you start going round in circles, and we're at that stage where nothing really exciting happens. Boris Johnson got it. He's out of hospital, don't worry. He went into intensive care, but he only went in for a wee seat and then he came out. And it's just, I don't know, it's what it is. It's the boredom setting in grandly here, but that's nothing compared to America, for what I can see. Because as I was saying in the chat before, the kind of news we got today was the whole digging the mass graves after SPAC of Brooklyn. There's an island or something, and they're digging mass graves in New York because there's just too many people dying. That's crazy, especially after like last month when we were talking about it, like how I was playing the division and stuff. That's scary material. Like, that's grade A nightmare. Wake up and cold sweat.
That's some movie shit, right? Like,
that's because it's showing you these guys in like a good mile long trench, and they're like, yeah, we're tagging all the apparently they're tagging all the coffins so that in theory, once it's finished, families can go and reclaim.
Yeah,
and that's insane. So technically, you're going to be in the ground for like 6 months.
Yep,
maybe. Yeah. And then, but they're also asking for like it started after it was fucked. It's so fucked. It started at the start of the week. The mayor of New York was asking for medics and paramedics and stuff and that to go and help. Now he's asking for mayor funeral directors to go and help. That's mental.
Yeah,
like it's yeah, like, man. Lifesavers. You're getting in the box. It's like Jesus, God Almighty, but. What I don't get is why is Trump no fucking done anything for them? I don't. Again, I'm very detached for the American scene. All I'm getting is bits and snippets because
do you want to know the actual reason why Trump hasn't done anything for New York?
He likes money.
the actual reason why he hasn't done anything for New York is because New York votes blue.
Yeah.
They vote for Democrats. That's been the thing like all along and he has said it in so many words that he is giving more support to the states that support him than the states that don't.
That's not true. All he said was as long as the people favor him and talk about him good on like the social medias, then he'll help them. That's what he said.
I just got a tweet there about some news about how the Surgeon General has said a rather loaded comment. So, yeah, America's doing well. We're doing well. You're doing well.
It's going great over here, guys.
Yeah. I can't wait till next week. We might not even get a chance to talk to you because your broadband system might.
Maybe if you can still talk to me by then.
We'll try. We always.
If I still have internet.
How's New Zealand handling it then, Charles?
Pretty good. Our cases per day have gone.
We're an island, it's fine. You know what I mean? We don't care.
Yeah, as I said, I'm kind of excluding the dark side of this whole virus thing. I'm kind of enjoying the lockdown because, yeah, people are great, but they also suck. So less people isn't necessarily a bad thing sometimes.
It's not the people I'm missing, it's just the enjoyment of things. Like today. I went grocery shopping. But because I live in a kind of small hamlet, the big supermarkets, there's three big supermarkets, but they're in three different towns. They're three towns over. And I had to do a wee drive, and it was just fun going in my car and driving at speed because the roads were empty. And it was just that rush you get, like, oh, wow, I remember driving fast, it was great. And then you realise you've not done it for, like, 3 weeks, and you're like, oh, I miss that. But it's just the mundane things that just ping you with wee pings. I'm like, oh, aye. Like the sun, like walking out and feeling the sun on you, that's such a rare treat. So
I am privileged, I guess. We've got a big backyard. I've got my fish pond. I've got my garden to work in. And so there's lots of outdoor stuff.
The reality is the sun for us there. It wasn't a case of me feeling the sun. It was a fact of the sun being there for us to feel. Do you know what I mean?
We've also been lucky in that way. We're heading into autumn, which I think we're technically in autumn, but we've actually had really warm weather the last 2 weeks. And so it's actually been lots of good days to get out and go for walks, keeping warm.
Well, I think the irony with us is it's going to be like 22... degrees this weekend, but then on Monday it drops back down to 5. It's like, that's your window opportunity to enjoy some heat, and it's like, whoop, back down to the basics.
Yep. But no, in general, we're doing fine as a country. The lockdown is mostly working. I think we've been a bit stricter than other countries. I'm a little bit annoyed about the more and more things have been classed as essential, and so like all the big retailers
Was it no New Zealand the Prime Minister came out and talked about the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny?
Not the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, yeah, is an essential worker.
Yeah, I'm sure the Tooth Fairy appeared as well in that, because I was laughing at it this week because I thought, that's how we take care of the world, where we're sitting arse end backwards, you are just worrying about the real things, and we're like...
And so, yeah, so basically they've put out like Easter egg printouts you can do to colour in, and so we've done a bunch of them to put in the windows. So previously...
Well, we're rainbows here. We're all about the rainbows. I guess the rainbow's been adopted as the sign of the NHS, so like loads of people have got windows with rainbows in them. And my girlfriend's a keen crocheter. She's crocheting like wee Diddy rainbows.
Oh, yeah.
So people can put them on. Well, she originally was going to Yarnborn, a close public parky area. But I was kind of like, if you do that, the odds are the cops will come and get you, because what are you doing outside during quarantine? Even though it's a nice thing.
Yeah. It's basically saying...
So what I say is maybe just say to people to help themselves, put a box at the bottom of the garden and let people come and take one, do what they want, you know?
Yep.
But,
So, yeah, it was teddy bears people were putting in their windows so people, kids could have something to look at as they walk around the neighbourhood. And then over Easter, it's all Easter eggs stuck in people's windows.
It's just a Animal Crossing.
Yep. Actually, Odin was
again,
like...
Well, I have some discussion about that later.
Okay, I won't say it now then. Oh, well, I'm going to. Odin's been real mad at like the Easter egg edition of Animal Crossing. He's like, I can't get any other resources because it's always just dumb eggs. Anyway, we'll come to that. The numbers are going down here. Each day, the reported new cases are dropping. But the grey area is there is rumblings and rumours that the government has run was running low on the test kits that they stick through into your nose. Do you guys know how they test for this?
Swab. They stick the swab right down the back of your throat, didn't they?
Yeah, like 3 feet in.
Dub-a-dub-dub. Yeah.
But yeah, back so they ran out of them, so they're told...
through your nose.
Sorry?
Yeah, fuck that. The hell with the nose. Hell with the nose. No.
Well, you know, the proper test is supposed to go in the nose by, like, 10 centimetres into your nose, like, way deep. But they ran out of those tests, so they were telling doctors to test using the throat swabs, which aren't as effective. So I'm worried the numbers are going down because of inaccurate testing, not
cases.
Yes. Yeah. So it's still early days. And our government's just dropped... $88 million on school materials, and we're 2 weeks into our 4 week lockdown, and it's kind of weird if they spent $88 million on school books to be sent to kids if they only expect to be 2 more weeks.
That's not happening.
Yeah,
and I'm saying that right now. So you're not going to be 2 weeks.
But guaranteed, we have it better here compared to what you guys have it over there. Like with.
Well, put it this way.
Oh, almost certainly.
Like, I think there's 5,000 cases in Scotland, right? There's like 18,000 cases in London. You got what I mean? It's obviously it's a density thing, and that's what people somebody put something on Twitter that made me laugh. He said, "Corona spread because of two things: one, the density of living areas, but then also the density of the public because they don't listen and they don't do what they're told." And it's true, because London's such a densely populated area. That's why it's... But then, that's the weird thing, is I always thought, like, places like Hong Kong, especially China, would have been hit harder, because what they were saying was, like, the whole of China only had 3,500 cases. And I'm like, that doesn't add up. Like, that doesn't add up. Like, you can't have that many people in that small space and only have 3,000 deaths or cases. And it's like, that doesn't make sense. Especially when you look at what it's done to Italy. Spain, France. It's like
Italy.
Somebody in the old Iron Curtain's hiding something, you know what I mean? Because what they were saying was they thought the Chinese were passing them off as just general, like standard deaths. So somebody had, like, I don't know, lung cancer, for example. Instead of saying it was corona that killed them, it was lung cancer that killed them. So it's a false, it's no levy in the levy the way it should, if you know what I mean?
They also went very hard on it, though. So they.
But the thing is, China's ground zero. It's where it came from. So ground zero is going to be where your biggest... Like, just the whole New York thing, for example, is that was ground zero in America, wasn't it? and everything's radiated out of there. So it just shows you how China's no playing ball with everybody.
Well, that's just because USA just has to be number one in everything.
USA, USA, USA.
America. You're still getting delivery, but that's the main thing. If you're still getting your delivery, because
yeah,
last time you were all excited because you were getting stuffed over to your door without having to talk to people. Is that still a thing, or have they stopped that now?
I don't really get a lot delivered to my door anyway, so.
I haven't bought anything from like Amazon or anywhere like basically this whole time we've been off. So
yeah, I've tried to save my money, trying to. Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, there's going to be a global recession worse than the 20s coming. Good times.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's enough update for this week. Join us next month for an even more darker update.
It's just going to get worse, everybody.
There's light at the end of the tunnel. Just know this tunnel.
So let's talk about some news. And there's one, I think, very exciting piece of news that was announced this week, which is we got a look at the PlayStation 5 controller, the DualSense.
Ooh.
Looks pretty cool. I like the design of it.
Cue the memes.
They very conspicuously have not shown us the back of it, fueling my conspiracy theory that there are paddles on the back of that thing.
Well, there'll have to be. I think there is. I think it's a given there's going to be paddles on it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it looks cool. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's very similar to the current design. Just slight shift.
So the one thing that somebody pointed out to me that I don't like about it, that I'm kind of grumpy about, is that the buttons aren't colored anymore.
I don't mind the
I kind of don't like the monochrome like design. I like the PlayStation colors for the buttons.
See, yeah. I was thinking that it was mere a case of the whole white thing was mere the kind of, it's obviously going for that chic style, isn't it?
Yes.
I think it's the first launch for PS that's not been in brackets black or grey. So it's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, as long as the same buttons are the exact same spot, I'm fine.
I also think it looks exactly the same.
I'm okay.
It's weird, but see, looking at it, it looks wider.
It does
for
look
some
wider.
Bizarre reason.
It looks a lot more like an Xbox controller, honestly.
Yeah, people are going on about that, and there is a little similarity, but a lot of the silhouette that was created because it was white. Was it white and blue or white and black? Can't remember now. White and blue.
White and black.
White and black with blue trim.
And so it created a different silhouette than I think the actual shape, because there was a picture of the side and it's very, very similar to what we have now. Maybe slightly more, it's more curved on the top is the big thing.
Well, the front facing silhouette, I'm holding my Xbox controller up to my screen at about the same size as the one on the screen. And they are very similar shapes from the front. But I'm guessing the handles will still feel more like PlayStation handles.
Well, yeah, from the side, it definitely has that same kind of weird bulbous feel.
Yeah.
Well, if I can accuse towards the machine, then I'm thinking white with black accents and some kind of light bar that will be blue.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Like, I imagine it's going to look... It probably won't be the weird pyramid or like the weird trapezoid that the PS4 is.
Yeah, I like that.
It's kind of cool, but it's weird, right? Like, it's just
a weird
shape.
It is.
It will probably just be a box, but yeah, definitely like white will be the base model, it seems like, if they're showing a white controller.
Yeah, I think that's...
Which is cool. Like, as you all know, I like my white consoles.
I thought it was a bit strange how it was unheralded as well. It was just like Tuesday. Oh, there's a controller, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's damage limitation, but after that thrilling stream the week before, I think somebody was like, yeah, we need to kind of win them.
The thrilling,
we need to win them back.
Mark Cerny stream.
Yep. We need to win them back. We need to win them back. Just put a controller.
Just show the controller.
But it's also got a microphone in it. Ooh. Which all sound like shit, but... That's it.
I can't wait to blow into it to make the Poles' voices die.
It's also going to be used by three first-party titles, And four of them will be Media Molecule games.
Accurate.
You know what I mean? So it'll be a Port of Dreams, an update of Tearaway, an update of Little Big Planet, and something else for them.
All I can say is that all in-game voice chat better be opt-in for the PS5, because I do not want to get into the lobby of a game and hear the gamer word said over and over again.
Oh, see, the thing is as well, but they've said, like, the point. By the way, it's got a mic in it, but then they've also said, but the preferred way to play is using a headset.
It's still with a headset, yeah.
It's like, yeah, what was the point of even putting it in, guys? Like,
right.
What's the point?
I mean, I guess if it's just, like, for, like, quick, short chats, like, not like a long gaming session. But so here's another thing that I didn't notice until just now that is a little weird, is that the PlayStation button itself is not a round button. It's just the logo.
Mm-hmm.
So that might feel weird to push.
And the share button is now called the create button.
Yep. Which is going to be exactly the same as the share button, I bet.
Well, we don't know. They've not announced anything that you can do. It's built for making clips in it and streaming and stuff.
Yeah, it will just be easier to like set up streams and stuff. That's literally going to be all it is, I bet.
Everybody's favorite.
You know, I like my PlayStation. It's my preferred place to play, but I still don't like the options and share button. I miss my select and start. Like, it's still the start button. Like, why do they have to take my start button away?
Yeah, it is weird that so many games use the options button as the start button. Like, that's what, isn't that kind of like, if you're going to do that, like, use the touchpad, right?
Yeah, and every second game seems to switch which one it goes into your menu, is the touchpad or the options, and I always just get it wrong. Like, Final Fantasy VII right now, I'm constantly I'm going into the map instead of the menu, because Neo was...
You say touchpad's always mapping it. It's always annoys me about it, is that you always hit it, and it's like, ah, it's the map!
Not always, it's the menu. Like, Sekiro, it's the menu. And option is the the emoticons, what do you call them? Your gestures. Gestures.
The emotes.
Emotes, yes. So options is the gestures and Neo, sorry. They need to be more set. Whereas with the start button, everyone knew what it was. It was always this like system menu.
Yeah, you used it to start.
Yeah.
And then also to stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting. It looks good. I like the lights around.
Yeah, it does look good.
I like the lights around the touchpad.
I just hope that they're not too bright, because if those lights are gonna like glare into your eyes from below, that's gonna be really annoying.
You can change the brightness of the current lights.
Well,
it could
begin doing the RGB route, can it? And you could maybe be able to change them.
It is better than the current lights glaring into the screen of your TV. And
well, you don't know. I suppose they've shown the back. You don't know what the back it looks like, but they've shown it.
Yeah.
There's no front light.
Well, yeah, they said that that's the lights, right? They don't have the light on the top part this time.
Hmm.
So
still looks like a stormtrooper.
Yeah, and I stay convinced that there will be paddles on the back.
Yeah, definitely. I think there will be paddles or triggers or something, kind of wee nubbles or something. It'll be annoying, whatever it is, because Sony always fuck it up first thing.
And see, that's why I wait until like a bundle comes out, and then I'll get like the second or third generation of the system with the second
better,
or third generation
the superior
of the controllers.
Iteration.
Exactly. I say that having picked up a PSP this week and went, oh wow, PSP was amazing, wasn't it? Oh, I had one analog stick. Junk. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's this week's excitement. But yeah, it's impressive. There's so much mileage came for like three pictures there. You know what I mean? Everybody went apeshit for it. It's like, yeah, okay. It's not the actual machine. It's the Sony Way button. Show the pad and show the machine 6 months later. Also, diffuses. We might as well bring in the other story in it, the other Sony story. Is the indefinite hiatus. See, I'm using big words now for press releases.
Oh, listen to this guy.
It's
almost like he writes about video games for a living.
Well, I'm truly gutted by this, because the amazing and possibly most hyped game in the world has been put back, Iron Man VR, which I have played, and it was absolutely amazing using move controllers to pretend I was flying and look like a tube. But also some game called The Last of Us 2 as well. So yeah, interesting. The first two big scalps caused by old Corona. I honestly thought they would announce the console. I don't know if they would have been brave enough to announce the console's been held. Just the new after the goodwill for the controller. But if their two games are put back, I'm sure the consoles can't be far away. I don't imagine there's many factories in the world making them just now. So,
yeah.
Because they were saying, the other thing I took away just before we jump into that one is, apparently the bit of the text for the controller that intrigued me was we finalised the designs, so we're now shipping these out to devs. And I felt, so is this like a counterbalance in case a dev took a picture of it and showed you, so leaked it? Is it like, oh, we'll show it before somebody leaks it for us, if you know what I mean? So I don't know. I took that for the controller. I thought it was maybe just a bit of, no, so much. That's why it came out the blue. It was just a case of them covering themselves in case somebody got cheeky and took a picture of the controller.
Yep.
And posted it and went PS5 controller, and instead of it being wasted, Sony went, you know what, we'll preempt this and we'll just do it ourselves. And that's why we put in that wee bit of text just to make it sound like we're covering our backsides. As for the games, I think this is just the start of things to come.
Yeah, man, I know. What video games are going to come out this year? Like,
well, Cyberpunk said it's on course. That's the interest.
We'll
like,
see.
Days
we'll
after
see.
That,
they say
said,
that now.
But then I thought as well. See if they're canceling Last of Us and Iron Man. I thought they would have threw Ghost of Kojima in there as well, because that's the kind of, it's the great forgotten about child.
Ghost of
it's
what?
Like,
Ghost of Kojima. Is this the sequel to Death Stranding where Kojima's ghost plays? Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, I don't care. Ghost of Poke People with Swords. Jesus Christ. Pull me up on my pronunciation. Jesus Christ.
Well, now, here's a question, because you asked about the games being delayed. And I know, like you said, you've got those two games that were big names going to be coming out. But isn't most, like, majority of gamers tend to do digital games anymore? Couldn't they still, in theory, put them out and still get the game?
Well, I think the thing is that, like, these developers aren't working on these games right now, right? Like,
the statement was because the pipeline is
slowed down by everyone working
fractured.
Remotely.
Okay,
because they're fractured and they're working from home. That's okay. The thing. It's Iron Man. See, Iron Man's a strange one, because Iron Man was due to launch like next month.
Yeah.
So it's not like we could argue, oh, Iron Man's thingy. But Naughty Dog have said they wanted another 6 months to polish. And what they said was, the official line is, because we can't give players the launch experience that they deserve. I'm like, nobody gives a fuck, man. Just put it out. You know what I mean?
No one cares about that anymore.
But the argument I would think for Last Year's at least is that the development teams are so fragmented, an hour in office might take 4 hours at home between people remotely working and stuff. It could be quite there's an unknown factor of how well can you make a computer game at home.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't.
It's, okay, it's not like all of them have the same equipment that they have at the office to make.
Well, that's
stuff.
The thing, you know, and I know that, like, I mentioned Cyberpunk there, but also Halo sent their guys home, or 343 Industries sent their guys home early doors as well, but they're apparently working on Halo Infinity for home. And you're kind of wondering to yourself, can you produce the same quality standard of work can in your kitchen or your office or your study as you could within a room that's what, 400 people strong on a design floor, you know?
Yeah.
It's, we could come out the other side of this with games that are just a bit busted and a bit weird, more so than usual. but yeah, it's a bit interesting. It's also interesting as well how Sony broke cover. It was always going to happen, but the fact Sony did it first is a bit interesting as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's because, I don't think it's necessary. People are calling it a cynical move to kind of, so they can make more money later and not lose money now. I think it's more that the game's not finished and it's kind of hard to do that right now.
Yeah.
Whereas
it's hard to collaborate over the internet in that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
somebody put the meme up, Shamil Mota, saying a good game a good game that takes its time is a good game forever. A bad game that's rushed is a bad game forever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
there's that too.
You'd rather wait and get a good game than rush a bad game.
That is our motto.
Mm-hmm. As always, the hype train leads to the station of disappointment.
Exactly. Whereas Ghost of Tsushima, that may be mostly done.
Sorry, what? Do you mean Ghost of Kojima?
Yeah, sorry, Ghost of Kojima.
That's the name of this podcast, by the way.
That's the name of the ship. It's the Ghost of Kojima.
There you go.
I rename her.
And it's... Do we have like a picture? Yeah, you know, like ships sometimes have like art on the side. Do we have like a big picture of Norman Reedus?
We've got a busty
Norman Reedus.
On one side it's busty Norman Reedus. On the other side,
I was going to say it's Norman Reedus holding a baby Kojima. And his ghost can be seen floating about the ship. I know my role next month. I'm applying for Ghostbuster.
Interesting times. But to answer your kind of question before, Joe, I prefer physical. Here in New Zealand, it's cheaper to get the physical disc than it is to get digital. And I'm still really sad that I had to pay extra $20 for a digital version of Final Fantasy VII yesterday.
And that, I prefer physical as well. You can call me old school, whatever, but I like having the case on my shelf, knowing what I have. Not that I couldn't look it up, you know, in the list and be like, okay, I'll play this game, but just something over there to just kind of thumb through all the cartridges, all of the discs, all the boxes, just to see. I like having it there to see what I got.
Yep.
So,
it's actually something I did this week because I kind of got sick of my son just playing Minecraft and Prison Architect, the same kind of repetitive games constantly. I made a rule for him while we're on lockdown that he only can play new games that he hasn't played before. And I went through my
out over here.
Brian.
I've been playing new games.
And so I went through the list. We went through our PlayStation Plus list. And because I've had the subscription for quite a while now, I have a lot of games on that list. And I forgot how many games I haven't played that are on there that I could go back and play. Because as you say, digital, you forget it's there because it's just this list on the cloud.
I remember there was a podcast I used to listen to where they would talk about whenever there was a Steam sale. You know, oh, look, this game is $1. I'll buy it. And then eventually they had like 80 games and never played any of them because they just forgot.
Brian, you've been called out again. What are
you up
to?
That was me for a long time. I've slowed down a lot on the whole Steam sales, but...
Yeah. And that's the thing. They just added Uncharted 4 to the PlayStation Plus. So we have the... What do you call a trilogy plus one? Is there a name for it?
Quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy?
Technically.
It doesn't sound as good. I think Trilogy Plus One sounds better.
Yep, that's what we're going to call them from now on.
Well, is it not a quintuplet? Because there's also that extra game in it where you play as the woman.
That was DLC, technically, so...
But no, it was a standalone game, but you could buy it.
It was DLC. You can buy it by itself, but it was... I bought a DLC when I bought Uncharted 4, so...
Mm. It was a good... That was
technically DLC.
Yeah. It was a long DLC. That was very good, actually. It was better than... Anyway, so we have all four of them. And I've got Odin playing through those. And to start off with, he's like, I hate this. And he grumbled through. But he's finished... within 3 days, he finished the first one. And then he went straight into the second one. So he's actually enjoying it. But it's because I told him he had to do it. He had to argue and complain. So maybe that should be everyone's quarantine rule. Is that you can't play a game you've been playing before.
Charles.
Now,
please,
when you say play before, do you mean on that current system or
Brian,
mean I can play Destiny on my Xbox?
That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Well, because that's what Odin said. So I'm not allowed to play Neo because we've been playing Neo 2. I said, well, no, because that's a new game. I'm talking about like older games that you've played repetitively for more than a few years. And so he kind of tried throwing it back at me with some sass, but I gave him some criteria. So new games, so Animal Crossing, because it's still new, you can play things like that. But yeah, we've got so many games that we could be playing and we just don't. And that's another reason why I like physical is because you can, as you said, Joe, you can see it easier. You can see what's there and you can remember to pull it out and play it.
Well, yes, or you can see what's there. Like, I've got Jedi Fallen Order sitting right by my PS4 still in the package that I got for Christmas.
Yeah.
You and Brian are good friends, aren't you? Because Brian's got Persona 5 on his desk, still unwrapped from what?
It's upstairs now. It's in my closet now.
You put your shame in your closet.
I put it away.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's staring at me. Play me. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I want to play this game I haven't played in 8 years. Play this one.
Yep. Physical.
Indeed.
And the price. The price bugs me that we didn't charge extra on the PSN.
Yeah. That sucks for you guys. I mean, it's the same way here, like, in a sense. Like, you could, if you wanted to right now, you could get Final Fantasy VII Remake on PS4, like, a physical copy for $50. Or you can pay $60 to buy it digitally. So you do pay it like a convenience tax, right?
Yeah.
But that's just like the nature of physical media and physical products taking up space.
Well,
it's, right?
And it's competition.
If you go to like the store and buy it, you still got to get the tax on it. So it'll still be $60. It's just, you just won't look nice on your shelf.
Sure. I don't know. I've moved beyond looking nice on my shelf for most things.
Well,
personally, but
you know, I haven't. You've seen that picture of my comics?
Yes. You'll have to share that so that we can put that in the show notes for the podcast.
I'll send it to you.
Cool. Was there any other news happening in the galaxy?
The thing about Stadia, I guess. Stadia is free for everybody right now.
So I got a question.
Three months, I think, isn't it?
What's Stadia? I've
it's the future.
Great question. It's trash. Is what it is.
Okay.
It's Google's streaming video game service.
That thing. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
our savior.
It's the savior of video games.
It's the second coming of Christ.
It's the newest sugar-free sweetener out on the market.
It's actually a thing you add to proxy glue to make it go stiffer. Stadia. I just thought it was worth shouting because, in theory, is this the beginning of the end? I know it's smoke and mirrors, seen as a goodwill gesture, but really, it's the beginning of the end, isn't it?
So, don't you need their controller though to play it?
You can use an Xbox or PlayStation, any Bluetooth controller you can use. You need this Chrome, the brand new top of the range, £50, whatever, £100. Chromecast.
Oh, do you still need that? TV. I thought that was part of the thing, is that they made it so that you don't have to use that.
I've no heard otherwise. I know you the app, so now on Android, I know you can put it on your laptop and your PC and stuff, but I thought you needed the Chromecast for the TV. You can't actually download it for your TV without the Chromecast.
Okay.
Guess I'm not getting it.
And in a world where broadband settings and stuff are getting dialed back, definitely the time to get stuck in with high streaming service, you know what I mean? Superb, well done, boys. Top of the class. But if you've got a game that's over a year old or a year and a half old, Stadia is the place to be.
Okay.
So I'm reading a Polygon article about this right now, and so what it is they're giving away 2 months of Stadia Pro for free, which gives you access to the following games. Are you ready for this incredible list of games?
Oh, let's see.
Destiny Candy 2 the
Crush.
Collection.
Oh.
Grid.
Yes. Guilt,
Steamworld Dig 2. Steamworld Ooh. Quest. Hand of Gilgamesh. Serious Sam Collection. Spitlings. Stacks on Stacks on Stacks. And Thumper, which I cannot imagine playing Thumper on a streaming service like that.
You
would
mean
just...
You mean the lagger?
Yeah.
Yeah, not interested in any of those. I have Destiny 2 already. And isn't it free everywhere?
So it's the collection, which I think is everything.
Yeah, it's the most up to date version.
Yeah, so it gives you access to all of Destiny 2, which I guess
Destiny 2 was their opening gambit when everybody go to Destiny 2 for nothing. Even though
if you need Stadia to get Destiny 2, you probably don't need to play Destiny 2.
So
that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think that's it. Get two exclusives now. One of them's timed. No doubt the other one's timed. We'll see.
It seems like this is kind of just like their last gambit of trying to hopefully get an audience, and it's probably not going to work.
No. Doom's not even on it, even though they showed Doom running on it pre-launch.
Aren't they going to have Doom Eternal on it before they have Doom 2016 on it also? Which is kind of wild.
I think so.
Stadia, rest in peace. Google Stadia 2019 to 2020. We will never forget the name.
That's a bit
we're going to make jokes about Stadia for our entire lives. Cool. Let's talk about video games we've been playing, because now I'm depressed about Stadia existing.
I'm depressed about Stadia. Jesus, it didn't take much.
So, Joe, you're the guest. Why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us about the various BioShock games you've been playing?
Well, sure. What was it, about 2 or 3 weeks ago during the latest Nintendo Direct, they announced that the BioShock collection will be coming to the Switch, which got me excited. I'm like, oh, wait, I've already got all those for PS3, but for the PS4, so I started playing BioShock Infinite, and I was just going to stop at that because BioShock Infinite was the one that got me into BioShock. That was the first one I played in 2013, I think, right when it came out. And I loved it, which then I went back and played 1 and 2.
And you're like, man, BioShock can be so much better. I didn't realize when I played BioShock Infinite how much better BioShock could be.
I loved BioShock Infinite, okay? That was actually the first game, and I think even still the only game I've platinumed in.
Okay.
So I love that game so much. But while I was playing it for the PS4, my girlfriend's daughter, Cassie, came down and started watching me play it, and she enjoyed me playing it. So I was telling her the story and telling her everything about it. And so she wanted me to play the first BioShock. And so I'm like, okay, I'll play that one. Wasn't planning on it, but I forgot how amazing it is. The fun part was, something I didn't know is that I played the game, the collection, when it came out, 2-3 years ago, whenever it came out officially. And I remember playing the first BioShock and finishing it. Well, this offers you, if you start a new game, you could bring in all of your, Atom and weapons and upgrades from that save file.
Oh, neat.
So
some new game plus action.
Basically, yeah. And so right at the very beginning, I'm just wrecking house in the first game with a weapon that I probably shouldn't have, because why the hell not? And then I go to BioShock 2, and I did not play that the last time around.
So you didn't get to bring in your new game plus weapons?
No, I'm getting my face raped is what's happening. but I'm having the fun. I forgot how good the games were, the first two especially, because it's been a longer time that I've played those, and I'm loving it. Those are about the only games I have been playing. Like I said earlier, I've got a good stack of games that I haven't, brand new games I haven't touched that I might get to at some point, but I just keep adding things onto my list of, oh yeah, I've got time now. I could do this.
There was time now.
Yeah, it was. I think I saw the meme. I think it was a Mori meme where it said like, you said you couldn't do this because you lack time.
Oh yeah, yep.
This quarantine proves that was a lie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one got sent in our group chat.
I think so. So yeah, that's those three games are my current play through right now, and I know my other game recently that I played was Luigi's Mansion 3, which that was actually a lot of fun. I really did like that one.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah, it was a really good game. And now that the Resident Evil 3 is out, I do want to start back from 0 and play all the way through 7 on the PS4. I don't know if I will, because I still haven't bought 2 or 3 yet, but I do want to do that at some point.
There's a bundle where you get 3, 2, and 3 together.
Ooh.
Oh, on the PS4?
Yeah, with the release of 3, the remake.
Now I can let you know if things can still get delivered to my house, because I'm going to go buy them now.
Yeah, again, that's the digital I saw. I don't know about a physical. Sorry.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Resident Evil 2 remake's very cheap now in physical.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just don't want to go to GameStop. Not that I don't like GameStop, but I've been slowly getting away from them in the last couple of years. I knew everybody that worked there. I'd walk in, just say hi, and spend about 20 to 30 minutes just sitting there chatting with them, not even buying anything. Now I go in there and I don't know anybody, and I just don't like going.
Yep, it kind of sucks. Like that was kind of why I stopped going to GameStop when I stopped too, was because the people that I knew there stopped working there, and I was like, oh, well, guess I'm not going to this GameStop anymore.
But to be fair, I mean, I still talk to them here and there, and they all hated working there.
Sure,
GameStop apparently is shit. So
yeah, Joe, you know Ryan, he used to work at GameStop, and it was absolutely fucking soul sucking.
Yeah, so
like, that job is horrible.
Yeah. One of my good friends, he basically started out as, you know, just the lowly employee, and then quickly, and I say quickly, worked his way up. But just, I think the other manager quit, so he's like, "Hey, you're a manager now," kind of situation.
Hey, you want to be manager now? Because congratulations, like you're the manager.
You
want to
work
now.
10 more cents or earn 10 more cents that you won't, you know, won't really affect your paycheck. Here you go. So yeah,
no good. So is your GameStop still open right now, like during lockdown?
Honestly,
it's
I don't
essential.
Know. Yeah, I don't know because I haven't been there.
Well, that's gonna
I can only assume that they're doing like the if they are open, they're doing like the curbside delivery thing that like Best Buy is doing now, apparently, where you just roll up to the store and tell them that you're there, and they'll just bring whatever you want out to your car. I have found no desire to do that. Although maybe if I had like a router die or something, I would do that. But for the meantime, I'm good.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's not proper lockdown.
Welcome to America, Charles.
The dumb thing is, as I was saying earlier, the essential items are now being shipped from all our like department stores are sending like office furniture and electronics and stuff so people can work from home. But like, it's like, you sell games. Why can't you just put a game in there for me? But no, it's not essential, so they won't. But like, I don't see what the difference is. But yeah. I think it all should be shut down, and yeah.
I think it'll get that way here soon where everything's going to be shut down and we won't have a choice. But again, America's number one, and we do everything differently. We're down.
USA. I'm just reporting in from the PlayStation Store. You can purchase the Raccoon City Edition for $77.99. Which includes Resident Evil 3, Resident Evil Resistance, and Resident Evil 2.
Yes.
Physical copy or digital?
Not physical, digital.
Digital.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I don't know if they have a physical.
I didn't get Resident Evil 3 because I was still playing Neo 2, and I didn't want to buy another digital game. I'll wait until lockdown's over and buy it physical.
Yeah.
It's never going to end.
Don't forget, you're here forever.
War never changes.
All right, Stuart, why don't you tell us about Resident Evil 3, speaking of Resident Evil 3?
It's a game. Yes!
Are you disappointed by it? I know a lot of people kind of seem to have been disappointed by it.
I look at it as two slices of a pie. And if you put both slices together, you get a big round pie. But
correct.
It separates.
Is that how that works? Huh.
Yeah, but it separates two casts a mighty long shadow over that slice of pie that is free. I've twinned it in a kind of weird way. I've done that thing where people go, "Well, if Resident Evil 2 is Alien, Resident Evil 3 is Aliens."
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Clever. Clever.
But it is a lot more action focused. It's a lot more. Carlos is an assault rifle, for God's sake. You know what I mean? Come on, you're no playing as a guy with an assault rifle without action happening. looking at it, it was easy. Just take the same treatment you gave to and give it to 3, and we'll all be happy. Add in some new bits, tweak bits. Life will be good. What they've done is they've. Personally, I don't really understand why they couldn't just do Freeze Campaign as a DLC add-on for 2.
Sure.
And the world would have been a better place. It's... If 2 didn't exist, 3 would be brilliant, and you'd be like, oh, this is amazing, it's great, it's fantastic. And that's fine. Also, if you've never played the original, then you're never going to know. So, like, sections with the clock tower's been cut out and stuff, so there is chunks of it missing.
Really? Weird.
Which is weird, given that apparently Nemesis was in development for 3 years, so I heard, and I'm like, really? Like, really? I thought it would have been a nice slapdash 12 months turnaround off the back of the success of 2,
right?
Which it kind of feels like, because first playthrough you might get 7 hours, maybe, if you're taking your time.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing people say is like, but 6 to 7 hours.
I can drop it to 4 in a bit.
Yeah, I'm fine with a horror game lasting less than 8 hours.
But it's not really. Like it's mere action,
but it's very actiony, right? Like,
yeah, it's Christ. You spend the majority of time as Jill walking about with a rocket, a grenade launcher. Do you know what I mean? It's like, come on, it's not exactly the most stealthiest of approaches. And also the Nemesis isn't quite as good as Mr. X.
Yeah.
Mr. X felt like a stalking enemy, and that it was a bit unpredictable and they could always come and get you. Whereas a Nemesis is dead staged.
Yeah, it's very scripted, apparently, right?
Yeah, no matter how you try to light yourself, he never quite gets to the level Mr. X got to. If you know what I mean, he does hunt you down in a few sections, but it feels dead scripted, and it's a strange decision. And it's as a single thing, it's fine, but looking at it with 2, it's horrible. But looking at them both together, it's great. So that's a kind of weird situation, you know. I don't know. It's weird that the fact it's a full price title as well. Do you know what I mean? We bring in the padding that is the multiplayer side, and things get a bit kind of more interesting, and they've tried something new, and it's kind of cool, but kind of not, but kind of is, but it's rough as fuck. You either play as the asymmetrical multiplayer, where you play as one of 4 survivors, or you play as the mastermind, and the survivors have to get out of there alive, but the mastermind has to stop them. And the mastermind's the most interesting role, because you can place traps and zombies and creatures and unleash a Nemesis or Mr. X or whatever. Plus, you can also embody certain zombies as well, so you can get stuck into the fight as well. It's an interesting idea, but it just feels creaky and stiff, and I don't know if it's like some shots never register and stuff, and you're like, really should. But when it runs smooth, it does feel like the single player, like you're playing a single player campaign. It's just like there's no a mini map in your corner, you need to have your mig map up all the time and stuff, and it is a bit clunky, but it's okay. But again, it feels like it's like you kind of set yourself, is this just here because they had to pad the purchase of 3 so that people wouldn't throw their arms in the air and start shouting at people.
I was surprised at the cost. I was surprised at the cost, because year 2 was a lot cheaper. It was not a full title release.
Well, they've released the roadmap as well for 3, and it seems to be all multiplayer content. They've only announced one thing they knew, which was probably the worst kept secret about the game, was that Jill's going to be a playable character in the multiplayer, because there was major issues with the embargo, because I think that's why they pulled the beta. The beta, the multiplayer, and I think they pulled it early doors because that was found. People found that right away that Jill was going to be. They hadn't told anybody she was going to be playable in multiplayer, and everybody freaked out. Apparently, that saw it, I don't know, but Capcom shat the bed. and then looking at the rest, it doesn't look, because 2 had single player campaign, it had the survivor stories, which was about 4 4 stories of people, like, oh, what was it? It was a soldier, people and more people in another person. That's four. but it was, again, it was free, wasn't it? That was free DLC. Or was it? I can't remember if it was or not. I think it was free DLC, that. But it doesn't look like free is going to get that treatment.
Yeah, two, it was free. Like they added those survivor thingy people. Mm. It was free.
And it just feels like free's been left high and dry, and it is what it is, you know what I mean? And the argument is, you could argue, well, you're in the same police station as Urine too, so they're just reusing that model in that area. And that's true, and then that doesn't help their case at all, does it? If you're in the... But there's no helicopter crash through the roof. Well, in that case, it's easier. Do you know what I mean? To crash a helicopter through a roof takes time to crash a helicopter through a roof, whereas they don't need to render that, they just have to have the building, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's good, but... You really, I don't know, a mixed feelings. Like I say, it's not strong enough in its own right when compared to 2, but if you'd never played 2 and you never played the original, it's a cracking Wii game. But very few people will do that because 2 exists. But then when you play it as part of the complete pie that is 2 and 3, then it's a decent enough addition. But is it really worth like £80? In theory, if you bought both of them day one, you know, or $70 for the two of them in it, as you were saying there. So, yeah, strange one. Good. It's worth playing just for the bits. It's no a dreadful, unplayable game. That's the first thing. I mean, it's just like two, but it's more action paced, and the puzzles are a bit more. They're not so much find this, work this out, do this. It's more a case of get here, press this, get here, press that, open the door, go through, you know. It's more objectively based puzzles instead of collector based puzzles and grey matter scratching puzzles, you know. But, it's no bad. And it looks nice. That's the one other thing as well, you know what I mean? And then if this week's news is to be believed, the next ones were heading back to mainline. Then we're heading back up to where 7 ended, and 8's going to be filling the boots of the boy in 7 and stuff. And it sounds a bit kind of, I don't know, I kind of hoped we'd get Code Veronica out them before, because Code Veronica's like the kind of bastard child of the Resi family that's never truly been given the HD treatment that it deserves. It just kind of exists as a thing, lost in time.
It's one of my favourite ones. I reckon it's really good.
Well, I mean, but, 2 and it took forever to get 2 and 3 to finally get remastered, so maybe?
I don't know, but I know technically it is next in line, but then I heard rumours that they're going to jump the shark in day 4, and I'm like, 4 doesn't really need remastered. Mm-hmm. It'd be great, but it doesn't really. I'd rather see Veronica, because Veronica really still. I know they really released it on the Wii and the Xbox stuff, but mm-hmm. It was a direct port of the Dreamcast. It was the Dreamcast graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it would be nice to see it done in that engine. But all of that becomes null and void when you go, well, can we not just get an HD remake of Dino Crisis and that's it? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's a big shadowy dinosaur in the room. But Resident Evil 8, The Village, is an interesting idea. So he plays Chris Redfield and the guy for the original, and there's lots of ums and ahs and oohs and ahs going on about it, and how things will work and stuff, because obviously 7 was quite innovative in ways, so we'll see what happens. But it so depends as well how much money this makes as well, you know what I mean?
It's called The Village, is that like...
Yeah, well, at the moment it's
called The Village. That's not like official, but...
Yeah. Well, but so I already know the ending. It's M. Night Shyamalan sitting in a booth reading a paper.
It's true. But it's only called The Village because The Village, they can have the VII at the beginning and be like, oh, see what we did there? No, Anel's got
smart.
A tail. Anel's got a tail on it. I'm sorry. I'm not playing that game. You know what I mean? but that is what it is. If you like Resi, you'll like it. If you don't like it, you'll not like it. And it is just a bit disappointing as a whole package.
Indeed.
So,
what else have you been playing, Stuart?
Oh,
keep on rolling.
All right, I thought we were swapping out and going round the maple and good times. The only thing I've been playing is kind of two seasonal updates. I was stretching my noodle midweek going, what can I play? And I noticed no touch Forza Horizon 4 in a while. And I went in and they'd added a lot. I think it's on update 21 now. And in between, since when I stopped playing to where I am now, they added in quite a few new achievements and stuff. But mainly they added in new missions, they call them, or jobs, they call them. So each one contains 10 missions, we'll call them missions. Each job contains 10 missions that you can score 1 to 3 stars on. So there's a bit of challenge there to get the 3 stars. And it's everything from having to do help an insurance guy who's a German try to work out if the quotes that are people claiming for are possible in certain cars, to being a delivery guy, to being in Top Gear. They're just nice wee vignettes that are just fun to do. They've got their own wee story behind them, and you run them over the 10 missions, and it's they always change stuff. They give a good selection of cars, and they are for the most part quite challenging. So I kind of cut through all the new ones that were there, which is quite fun. And then I'm kind of only got a few seasonal things to do in it now, so I need to wait till spring, summer comes, and then I'm going to just sit for summer, because you need to go for summer to winter, spring, sorry. They advise you to go for summer to spring, because that's the rotation. So instead of starting in winter and then having to miss one and stuff, that's the clear thing to do. So I'm just waiting for summer to start. It's a weekly, seasons last a week.
Yeah.
So other than that, it's been not bad. And the other thing I was playing was the third season of COD started. Woo! Said no one ever.
I don't know, my brother's a big COD fan, so.
Last one was themed after Ghost. This one's themed after a man with one leg.
Sorry, Ghosts, because, like the game Call of Duty Ghosts?
No, Ghosts, the character.
Oh,
the,
okay.
The
okay.
Operator, yeah. Whereas this one's named after, is focusing on the man with one leg, who is Alex, who was in the campaign, who blew up the factory at the end. Oops, spoilers. And somehow managed to survive the massive explosion with just losing his left leg for the shin down. It's just a couple of new maps. Backlot is back. Woohoo! Classic COD 4 map, and Sawmill as well. Sawmill was in Modern Warfare 3.
Okay.
Few new gunfire maps. And,
important question.
Shoot.
Is Nuketown in the game?
No, because that's
I don't give a fuck then.
And
Nuketown is the only good map.
Treyarch make that map, so it'll be Black Ops, whatever.
Do they really not like share maps between...
Don't be daft.
That's wild.
They don't share anything. That's why one's got zombies and the other one doesn't even mention zombies.
That's incredible.
It's all right. It's another 100 tiers to unlock to get guns and stuff. The SKS is the new marksman carbine rifle. It's what it is. And skins and stuff for guys. And Alex looks cool. Oh, game is due. He looks cool, but I don't know why he has to have one leg. I really don't get it. The only situation that came in handy was we were playing it last night, and the other team bet us at the beginning of the match. They bet us to the midpoint in the map, and all the guys in the team were going, "How did they beat us?" And I went, "Well, they've got two legs, and we've only got one," and that was probably worth the price of admission alone. And then I took my headset off and left. Yeah, it's what it is. It's a weird choice, and it's even weirder because I said it'd be really cool if Activision actually did the right thing and said, "By the way, you're playing as a soldier with prosthetic. We're going to give half the money for this battle pass to veterans." You know what I mean, or something like that. And it's just a bit kind of, it's a bit weird. It's a weird choice. All the things in all the COD world to choose, they went that way, and I'm still scratching my head and thinking, why? It's just a bit, it just doesn't sit right, and it doesn't make sense. And I know, though, to be inclusive and stuff and all that, but you're kind of like, do I really want to play a glorified shooting game with a man with one leg that technically doesn't show the burdens he had to learning how to walk again and all that jazz, and how he couldn't find work when he came back after fighting, and you know, it's like, it's really dark and really weird, and I think too much about it, and yeah, so if you can look by all that, it's great. Trust me, it's a lighter subject than playing The Division 2. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I've really been playing, other than another game that I know other people are going to talk about. So I will chime in.
Yes.
In time.
We'll get to that after Charles tells us about Neo 2.
Again.
Yeah. Well, the last time you didn't let me talk much about it. I really like Neo 2. But I've been trying to finish it before the game we want to talk about released.
You can say the name of it.
I know.
No,
but it's funny.
That's
not.
Like spoilers.
It's funny not, though.
Have you ever been to the movies and seen the trailers?
Huh?
Has he never seen how trailers work for a movie? You never reveal the monster. You just keep it.
Trailers spoil like whole movies.
Oh, I just don't watch. I just don't watch trailers anymore.
Right.
Well, we have the 1980s style trailer, all right? With the 1980s style trailer, when they go to Kojima, we do it right.
Yeah. So
anyway, Charles, tell us about Neo 2.
I was trying to finish it, and I honestly thought I was at the end. Like today's Saturday for me, so it's Thursday. I started early in the morning, Thursday morning. And I figured I'd be able to get through it by lunchtime because it felt like
then
it was.
You had to go and build a chair.
I actually don't remember what day I did that. I think that was Wednesday. Anyway.
Then you had to go and build a rocket.
That was Friday. I actually spent most of the day playing. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, I had got to what I thought was the final boss. And I had got my character going really well. Most bosses I was doing in my first or second attempt. And I get to this boss, and it was nightmarish. I don't want to spoil things too much, but like he'd go into his yokai phase, power up, and he would split into eight. And you know, a lot of bosses do that in video games, but like the phantom versions of the boss aren't as powerful. Nope, this one, all eight can do all the abilities, and they're all doing different ones at different times, and they have his abilities that one-shot you.
Okay, cool.
So it was extremely dumb. I couldn't, and I haven't really been summoning in help because I like to do things myself, and I like the challenge, and as I said, I've been doing quite well, and didn't have a problem with that. So I went to bed. And so Friday morning, I got up wanting to play Final Fantasy VII, but I was like, no, I'm going to try and summon help. I did manage to summon help. It gets worse. The night before, you can summon NPCs. You know, like in Dark Souls, you have summon signs. In this, you don't have summon signs that summon a person. You have summon signs that summon an NPC version of that character. So people can choose to...
Dragon's Dogma, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can choose, you put down, it's called something Jasper. And you put it down, and a replica of your character can be summoned into the world of other players if they choose to. So because I couldn't get real players to summon in them on Thursday night, I summoned in some of these NPCs, and I managed to actually just fluke my way through. I don't know. I did it. I beat the boss, and I was like, oh wow, I did it. This feels really good. I did it almost by myself. And then he woke back up for round two. And I was like, I'm done. And I turned it off. And the next morning, I managed to do it with a real character. But that wasn't the end. There was more. And so I turned it off, and I'll have to go back to it after I finish Final Fantasy VII. I just couldn't believe how many endings. This is trying to beat Lord of the Rings in the amount of endings, this game. Because as I said, I thought at Thursday morning that I was nearing the end. At this point, I have fought two castles, like actual castles.
You fought castles?
Yes, I fought an actual yokai castle, so a demon castle, twice. Yeah. Two different ones. Huh? Yonder.
That whips ass.
Yeah, it's
fighting
pretty...
a whole ass castle.
Two different versions of one. Or two separate castles. I fought the end boss, and I thought the end boss was twice. I fought another end boss twice. And okay. It's still going. And I went through a boss rush level that I thought was the final boss that culminated in one of the castle fights. But it wasn't the end. There was still another level after that. So this game just will not end. And then after fighting that boss that woke back up, which was is the worst middle finger to a gamer ever, bosses that wake back up, I fought another ending. And honestly, I would have been satisfied with like three of the endings already, but they're still going. It's still... yeah. It's a good game, though. I really like it. It's just... It does drag on a little bit much.
Yeah.
And I'm in like 80 hours in, and it's adding in mechanics now to the game.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if you guys played the beta or the demo.
I did not.
And the game starts here. When you start the game, you go into this, what I thought was going to be a hub, like a very much like the Nexus in Demon's Souls or Firelink Shrine in Dark Souls. I thought it was going to be like that. I'd have completely forgotten about it because it happened 80 hours ago. And then you go back to it, and now I can warp to it wherever I choose to and speak to characters there who have died throughout the game, and they give you missions. So like, this is 80 hours in. And it's giving me more content. It's insane.
Good.
It's good value for your money. When you compare that to Resident Evil 3, which has 6 hours of gameplay for the same price. It's the song. It's the game that never ends.
it sounds like.
Although I think Destiny is that. It goes on and on, my friend.
Well, yeah, that's more specifically, yes. That is the game that never ends, and it does. You do the same thing over and 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 over again.
Yes, but you love it.
I do.
Then Firewall. I finally have been meaning to try that, and the kids nagged me to put on VR the other night, so I put it on.
Yeah, this is that like VR like Counter-Strike style game, right?
Yes. But it feels like you're not meant to move much because most of the time you're defending something. And so it feels like if you go and hunt enemies down, they'll just come in another door and steal the thing you're protecting. So,
sure.
It's good. I did get, after about an hour of play, I did feel a little bit nauseous, but I haven't played VR in like a year, so I probably don't have my sea legs or VR legs.
Your VR sea legs?
Yeah. But it was good enough.
I haven't played VR in forever either.
I was just thinking, since we're doing spaceship theme, we should all get that Star Trek.
and play that game together?
Yeah, while recording an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought that for a stream to do with Jeremy, and he cancelled the stream. And
I remember that.
I never actually...
Because I was going to play it with him too.
I never really played it. But yeah. But yeah, fight was all right. It was a little bit janky, and my gun wiggled a lot. But it could be partly because of my setup and where I had my camera. But it's fun shooting in VR.
Yeah.
It's fun. And then quickly mention Mario Party Switch again. My daughter wanted to do something, so yesterday I put down Final Fantasy VII, and we played Mario Party. And boy, does that game cheat. It was three of us versus one computer. Well, not versus. There was three of us and a computer character. The computer got no stars, but guess who won at the end?
It wasn't the computer.
It was the computer. I think every match I've played where it's been has been a computer, the computer's won by like bonus stars at the end of the game.
That sounds about right.
Or in the last move, manages to roll the perfect number to get like an ability to steal every single star in the game. it's just no.
Yeah, Joe. Have you had some experience with
Well, I haven't really been able to play my Switch, like Mario Party. I'm trying to think. I think Mario Party is really the only one because you have to use the Joy-Cons, and one, if not two, of my Joy-Cons are like being janky.
Are they drifty?
I just Yeah, so they just won't connect.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're just, I need to get new Joy-Cons, and I just haven't yet.
Yeah, I would say, if you need to borrow some Joy-Cons, I know a guy.
Were you supposed to sell me, like, one of the bigger pair that you got?
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah, but those aren't, like, Joy-Cons. Like, those are, those just connect to the side of the console. Like, they're not,
Gotcha.
You can't use them wirelessly.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I need to just buy a new pair, because, I mean, I've got the Pro Controller. I've got one Pro Controller. I've got a Legend of Zelda specific.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like the Power Pro Controller or whatever.
Yeah, so I use those the most, but I just need to get new Joy-Cons.
Yeah, I'm hardline on my SN 30 Plus for my Switch. That's like the controller I use for like 90% of my Switch use. Which, you know, comprises of most of the Switch use when it's not in handheld mode.
Yeah.
That controller is great.
So. But that is a game I want to play. I haven't played that in forever. And
just don't play with the computer. And this is the computer on normal. I'd hate to think of what it would be like on hard.
Oh, yeah. No, that computer just cheats regardless.
Yeah. It's just so dumb. Like,
sounds like it.
He got a star for being the most unlucky, which made him the luckiest because he won.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, and then that's the veggies and potatoes out of the way. We're on to the meat. Fantasy 7.
Okay, well, let me talk about my two games.
Oh, yeah, quick. Cool. Yeah, fair enough.
And then we'll talk about the meat. So, you know, Destiny, as always, still banging away at it. They put out the... They talked about the Grandmaster Nightfalls, which are a new thing that's getting added to this season, which is a much, much more difficult variation of Nightfalls, and they talked about, like, what those are going to be like. And they sound really cool, so the power level for those things, so the maximum power level in Destiny now without the artifact is 1,010, which is getting absurdly way too high, and I really hope that they squish the numbers sometime soon. But with the artifact, you can theoretically have an infinite power above that, because the artifact, as you level it up, gives you bonus power levels. But the Grandmaster Nightfalls will be at 1,050 power level, and the power that you will be at will be capped at 1,025, so you'll always be 25 below, which is very difficult, but it seems like the way they were talking about it, it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to trying that out. I've got like a good squad that we do stuff together regularly, and that'll be a fun thing to see if we can hang. I'll check back in on that in the future. Other thing I've been playing a lot is I've been real deep on Animal Crossing. I'm still going real hard at that game. I got my 3-star rating and got KK Slider to come visit, which unlocks the terraforming tools where you can add and remove cliffsides and move the rivers and stuff. So I've been spending a lot of time like designing my island. I added some cool little waterfalls like to the sides of the ramp that lead up to my house. And I've been like designing like a little like shopping area that like has paths laid out for the general store and the tailors, and I have like a little museum cafe that I built, and I'm having a real good time with this game, guys. It's good. Real good. It's real fun. And it's a real good chill out.
Is it excellent?
That part is not so excellent, let me tell you. So the Bunny Day event is going on right now and the annoying thing, and this is the especially annoying thing for me, is that the Bunny Day event is overlapping with the Cherry Blossom event. So right now in Animal Crossing, all the trees are cherry blossom blooming. So they're all like all the trees are pink, and there are like cherry blossom petals like floating around that you can capture with your bug net to make like cool little cherry blossom items. So like you can make like a cherry blossom clock, or like an umbrella that's just a big sakura flower, or you know, like whatever, all these different things. Which is awesome, except that the Bunny Day event that's going on simultaneously means that your island is being like bombarded with eggs all the time, and it's driving me fucking crazy. Nintendo even put a patch out like within less than a week after the Bunny Day event started on April 1st to reduce the number of eggs that spawn on the island, and it's still way too many. So I'm very much looking forward to Sunday being here and gone, so Bunny Day is over. But unfortunately, today, the 10th, is the last day for the cherry blossoms. So these events overlap, and we are losing the cherry blossoms before the Bunny Day event ends.
Yeah, I don't think it's cherry blossoms and Odin's one. I'll have to check after this.
Oh, yeah. I think it's not, because you're in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so... but still very much enjoying that game. Like, I've always really enjoyed the Animal Crossing games, and this might be the best one. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I still probably have the fondest memories overall of the original GameCube one, but this one is fantastic, and it's came at the perfect time, as we discussed on the last episode, for me and for a lot of people.
Getting your social interaction.
That's about it, other than the meat that we want to talk about.
Nice.
So, Charles, what game have we been hinting at this entire episode?
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yes, it finally came out. It's real. I can't believe it. I didn't think it was real.
That's good. I like it. I got my Cloud back.
This is early game stuff, so I don't think it's a huge spoiler, but if you're extremely averse to spoilers, skip forward about 30 seconds.
I'm recording with you.
Fuck your ears.
when you're on seventh, or like when you're in Seventh Heaven for the first time, and you like are hanging out with Tifa, and like she's like explaining how you're gonna go around and like collect for these water filters. Like, Cloud is such a fucking asshole in that. Like, he's just like, ugh, I don't have time for this. I'm a soldier, not a salesman.
I like that.
He just, like, kept scoffing, and I hated it.
No,
like, this is supposed to be, like, your childhood friend, dog. Like, it'd be nice to her.
Well, that's... I agree. Like, but that's the point. Like, he's not Cloud.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. It was very frustrating to me.
Well, look, it sucks, and that's the thing. He's been a dick, and like, yeah, the reaction you had is normal, and because he has been a dick, yeah. And anyone being a dick to someone is like that. But he's also trying to be. This is Final Fantasy VII. It's a 20-year-old game. Like, I'm not going to worry about spoilers.
I can't believe you're about to spoil the twist of Final Fantasy VII.
Can I? I don't know. But like, he's.
I don't know. Maybe don't, because I bet there are a lot of people that never played the original that. But, are playing this.
But yeah, but that, and we already in the, like, not long after that, we're starting to see his barriers break down. Like, he's got these huge barriers up because, you know, I won't spoil the big twit, like, big thing, but like, basically he's putting on a persona of a tough soldier.
Yeah.
And he's gone through stuff. He's gone through some stuff, like some real stuff. And so he doesn't actually fully remember a lot of his relationship with her, is the way I read it. And so he knows her, but doesn't have that bond or connection, and he's got so many barriers up. He is defensive, he's protective, and a little bit holier than thou when it comes to soldiering.
It was just very frustrating to me. I did also enjoy, like, in the very early part, I'm surprised that I didn't know this when I played the demo. But in the early part, like when you're attacking the Mako reactor the first time, every time somebody talks, Cloud is just like heavily sighing in the background, and that is very funny to me. It's like any time like Barrett or Jesse or even like one of the soldiers like says something, like one of the bad guys says something, Cloud's just like,
yeah. Well, this is to him, this is like a walk in the park. These guys are pathetic,
right? Right.
And I think that. What I'm really impressed with is the storytelling around the characters is really good. Like, because even in the missions you do, I don't know how far you've got, like, as you go on, the relationship with some of these side characters...
I killed some rats.
Yeah, so I'm a bit further than you. but that, the stuff continues, and his relationship with them changes, and it's done really well. Like, it's... He warms to people, but still is trying to be the tough guy, because that's who he is. Like, he is there to kick ass. And so if he's too friendly, I guess he's in a position.
Is he like worried they won't take him seriously or something?
Well, yeah, he's in a his kind of mental state or character is based around being tough. Like he has nothing else in his life but being tough, and so people think he's a soft guy. It's kind of like a vulnerability that he has, that he has to be tough so he doesn't seem vulnerable. Like, and I say, that came across with the original to me as well. And it's great that they're still holding and doing that in a really good way.
I guess part of this maybe for me is I haven't played Final Fantasy VII in a long, long time. Like it's probably been 15 years since the last time I played that game.
Yeah, I haven't played
with any earnest effort. They got past like the first Mako Reactor, right?
Well, yeah, and that's to be honest, I haven't played through the whole game since the original. I've played through the first maybe disc, maybe like five times since then. Sure. But I always end up burning out and never getting back into the playthrough. But yeah, I'm really enjoying the relationships. And the one thing. Have you done all the side quests yet? Like area?
I did the one where I went out to the like Badlands or whatever and killed some rats, and then I did the one where I killed some rats for the item guy.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll see. I want to talk to someone. Something weird happened. I'm not sure if I missed something or not, but I have to talk to someone else later.
Yeah, message Chris Mosier. I'm sure he'll have an answer for you.
Have you finished the game yet?
he probably has.
So far I'm really enjoying it. The combat's great. Like I talked about with the demo, like I really like how they've made the action turn-based actually an action game, but it still holds to that turn-based sentiment of a JRPG.
Yeah.
I do find the dodging and blocking hard because it's so chaotic that it doesn't really feel like the blocking's that easy to pull consistently.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I felt like against like the Scorpion, like it was really annoying, but like I started getting used to it by the time I got to the second like quote unquote boss that you fight. To the point where I was getting pretty used to the flow of when to dodge and when to block for certain attacks.
Yeah, I guess I'm just too aggressive. I want to attack all the time. But
yeah, and you can kind of build for that. Like they do like promote like, hey, like when you level up your sword, like do it in a way that focuses on aggressive versus defensive play, right?
Yeah, I can't say I'm super. I thought they might keep you with the Buster Sword fully. Like, they're like, oh, you can upgrade your sword.
Yeah,
like,
I did too, actually. That kind of seemed like the way it was going.
And then
but I kind of like the idea of, like, learning abilities, like, based on the sword and then being able to move those abilities forward by, like, mastering the sword. That seems really cool.
Yeah, that's taken from one of the other Final Fantasies, isn't it?
Final Fantasy IX.
Yes.
Did that. I don't know if other ones did.
Yeah, like, you would learn, like, abilities that you could equip, couldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that you go into the core of the weapons when you go to do the upgrades, and it looks like materia, but it's not. Like, I found that a bit strange.
Yeah.
How it looks, just visually. I'm a huge
fan of. Do it.
Yeah, I just didn't like how it looked. Like, I just felt like.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Which is a real petty thing to complain about, but I wasn't a big fan of the core system of the swords and the upgrade system. It's like a galaxy.
Well, I'm a huge, huge fan of the fact that you can see the materia slotted into the swords.
Oh, heck yeah.
Around in the world. It looks so cool.
And they glow. Like, you walk into a dark room and you see this glow. And like,
it's awesome.
I've got the iron blade on, the second sword. Like, and you've got three slots sitting there, and it's just, they glow. Oh, yeah. I wonder how much processing power they put into that glow, because it looks pretty good.
Probably too much.
But yeah, you walk out into the lights. I really like how it does there. It did what Metal Gear Solid 5 did, where it like flares when you walk out of a dark room into the sunlight. Like it flares and the things get washed out, and then you got to walk a little bit further for it to then kind of the contrast.
Like your eyes adjust or whatever, basically.
Yeah, like it's trickery. Like it's not doing it properly because you can get stuck in between, but it still looks cool.
I'm not super far into it yet, because I had to check into my Animal Crossing town today before I started playing it. but I am very much enjoying it so far. It seems really, really good and like really well put together in a way that I was concerned that maybe it wouldn't be.
Well, they've obviously added a lot, but it's added stuff that makes sense. Like, the pace moved on very, for a JRPG, the pace was very quick in the first time.
Yeah, and I was, again, like, if you're very averse to spoilers for early game things, skip forward about 15 seconds. I was really surprised to see Sephiroth that early on in the game.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, that, and that's what they're doing. They're alluding to some of the Crazy Town stuff a lot sooner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that did happen, like, in the Marco Reactor in the original. When you first get in, there is a scene, like, it does have, like, Cloud.
Oh, that's right, you're right, yeah.
And it Cloud goes a bit crazy, but that's it. Like, it, that's...
But yeah, but that's it. Like, it doesn't keep happening.
And these weird Spectre things were with... Aerith was...
Yeah, I don't... Was that in the original? Because I have no recollection of those, like, weird ghosts.
Because that's the problem. Yeah, your mind plays tricks on you. The thing that they're doing a lot more with... I think with that weird connection and that group of people with numbers on.
Uh-huh.
That they did allude to in 7, the original, but I think they're going to be doing a lot more in the story with that.
Yeah, so this game has big Advent Children energy also. Like,
yep.
A lot of stuff in this game that's like, boy, like, you really like that movie still, don't you?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, not necessarily.
It was a bit over the top, but yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, Cloud jumping off of that like collapsing bridge and doing a front flip to land. On the bridge in front of Jesse, and then she's like, she like calls it out about it being cool. It was very funny to me.
Yeah, I do like. Yeah, I do like Jesse. She's pretty cool, and I think it's hilarious how much she like digs.
Jesse seems super fun.
See how much she digs Cloud. I saw Mai on Twitter just saying that she, as her younger self with the original, used to ship Jesse and Cloud. Whereas I don't think I ever thought about it back then. Because they didn't. There's not much of a relationship. There's a lot more interaction in this version, and she's trying to work out what the shipping name should be on Twitter. And so I suggested Strifey or Cloud Strife and Jesse. That's my suggestion. But yeah, she does definitely like Cloud.
Yep, it's I'm real excited to, honestly, like, I'm excited for this to end this podcast so I can get back to it. Cuz I was really enjoying it and I'm excited to keep it up. I'm in preliminary discussions with Chris Mosier to record about this game when we finish it. So
yeah, it'd be cool to do a spoiler cast.
Yeah, so if we can get him over here or if it's a thing on his for his Patreon or whatever, like, either way, gotta get it going.
Yep, well, let me know, you'll be included.
Absolutely.
Stuart, you played this, you got it early, you punk.
Yeah,
you sent us a picture of you installing it, gloating.
I broke the law. I broke the name rules, because they weren't even allowed to say that you had it up to the embargo lift it on Monday. It was like, you tell anybody you've got this and we will hunt you down. Okay, there's a picture, everybody. Look at that. It's a thing. It's an actual thing. I've no history with it whatsoever. So it's all new to me. It's all new. I'm just taking it in as I go. Very pretty. Very pretty. Borderline, maybe the best looking game at the moment. Maybe. I think.
Yeah, Cloud is very beautiful in that game, I do have to say.
He's a little pretty.
I just think the world and stuff, and the characters are spot on, but I think just the depth of the world and the feel of it and stuff, it's really... It is probably one of the best looking games available right now, and if they were to do it on the PC, it would look even better, I imagine. Which who's happening, maybe, you know. Just because of the way the world's gone, plus the fact is the original came out on PC as well. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Combat, like you say, that tank, that fight with the tank at the beginning takes a bit of getting used to. and getting your head around it, and Barrett's gun's just shit. so underpowered. But yeah, it's good. I like
his power.
I like fighting
his power shots though. His overcharge shot does heaps of damage.
Yeah, but it's like pew pew pew. It's just garbage. Well, it's just nasty.
So is Cloud's. So is Cloud's normal attacks. That, and that's the point. It's just, those are just fillers to fill up your attacks, like your actual main attacks.
Mm.
That just bars. So
again, having never played it, you know what I mean. I'm learning the ropes at that stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, it's I can see why it has the Animal Crossing effect. So yeah, I need to play more really, because I've been playing that and Persona 5 Royal on the fly, and because I started Persona 5 before I started playing that, I've been kind of playing Persona 5 Royal a wee bit more than that, just because in my head I don't think I can run two massive RPGs simultaneously at the same time. Because my head might explode. I'm definitely looking forward to get stuck more into it. I've not actually looked to see what the overall runtime is on it, because I know a lot of people are. There's two things I've seen come out on it. One, the easy mode is too easy. It's a null and void piece, and people are complaining that it's basically you're paying full price for a demo, or a demo in brackets, because it's only the first section of it. But I've not heard anybody say, like, this is, like, a Resident Evil 3 length, 4-hour adventure, you know what I mean?
No, I'm 9 hours in already, and...
So. But on the flip side as well, I suppose it's just launched today, so they've not mentioned when the next episode will be coming, but I assume they'll drop news of that probably in the next few weeks. I wouldn't imagine it will go along with them telling us what's happening with the next section, do you know?
I give it 3 months.
We could all be dead by then.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's really nice. It's a rare treat. And like I say, given that we were speaking at the beginning about shenanigans happening in the world and that, it's a borderline miracle that it actually happened.
Yep.
So yeah, throw it into the Death Stranded Shimu 3 camp of them games you never thought you'd ever see.
Yep, those are the two games that I believed would never actually come out. So this is a remake of Death Stranding, and both of them came out.
To be fair, Last of Us 2 and Cyberpunk have now taken their place.
Yeah.
Also, for me, Watch Dogs 3 Legions is now one of them games, because I don't think Ubisoft are ballsy enough to bring out a game like Watch Dogs 3, which has kind of been forgot about a little bit, given what the world's like just now. Maybe we'll never know, but yeah, those are it's nice to see it, and it's nice to see that the actual time and effort has been put into it. That's the big thing I walk away with playing it. The new is it's very much been a labour of love, I think, for them. But again, with having such a connection to characters and locations and stuff, I'm missing maybe the kind of more sublime moments and stuff. You know what I mean? That yous will be picking up on that I don't care. Although I do agree, Cloud's a fucking dick at the start. He's just
he's a huge dick. He is like a very beautiful Bishonen fuckboy, though. which is the thing I need to say on the podcast at least once. Because I've been thinking about it all day, how much of a Bishonen fuckboy he is.
He's just a dick. I just give him a slap.
But again, that is the point. How far have you got, like, without trying to spoil for Brian or anyone else? Like, have you got much further than what Brian said, or?
Nah, I'm maybe, what, 3 hours, isn't it, I think.
Yeah, I was saying that's about how far I am, too.
The start's about an hour and a half, I think. Maybe an hour. So, yeah. I'm no epically deep. Because, like I say, I was wary of losing myself into it and then leaving Persona 5 high and dry. But I was like, no, must focus on one, not both. Luckily, there's a lockdown, and time's a thing I have plenty of.
Right.
But he says that because Hotline Miami Collection just came out in the Xbox, and oh boy, I like my Hotline Miami.
Even those are great games.
Oh, I've owned the two of them on the PlayStation, I've played the two of them on the PlayStation, but I'm going to enjoy the two of them on the Xbox a bit more. I don't know why, but it's been one of those games. It's like one of the unicorn games. It's like the the indie game that you wish would come home that didn't come home, and they finally released it this week, so that's going to be eating up time as well.
Fair enough.
But that's a buy the prod. That's a buy the buy. You know what I mean? But anyway, Final Fantasy. Yeah, it's good.
It's very good.
Yeah. So, Joe, I know personally that you are not a huge Final Fantasy fan, but what is your history with the series?
Well, okay, so I remember playing it like 3 or 4, so it would have been had to be on like the original Nintendo or PlayStation or Super Nintendo. I can't remember exactly which one.
It was probably 2 or 3 on the Super Nintendo, if I had to guess.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I recall when 7 came out, I was a freshman in high school, and people like talking about it and loving it. Because I played the one in my younger days, it turned me off of turn-based for a very long time. It wasn't until South Park, Stick of Truth, yeah. Playing that one, I'm like, okay, I'll give turn-based another try. So I may, at some point, actually try the remake here.
The thing with the remake is action. It is very action-y. So.
Yeah, so, and this one being as beloved by almost every gamer I've ever talked to, it kind of gives it some leeway on me playing it. Now, that being said, I could play it and I could still hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
We'll see. But, I mean, it's a game. I know, you know, some things about it. I know a few of the spoilers, so I'm not going to say anything. Since you got, you know, obviously, since it's, like you said, it may be somebody's first time playing it. I may give it a shot. I just, with everything going on, I don't know if I will. I may actually play some of my games I haven't touched yet, like I said earlier, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, man, play Jedi Fallen Order. That game is really good.
It is a good game.
Yeah, I got that one. I got Horizon Zero Dawn. I've got Until Dawn.
Oh, man. Fucking so, Horizon like, Zero Dawn, dude. Like, that game is incredible.
Well, yes, but that also came out right when the Switch happened, and,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
You, Brian, know I'm a big Zelda fan. So,
Breath of the Wild, yep.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with me.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I don't know. I can't say I'll never play it, but I don't see myself playing it anytime in the near future.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you necessarily need to rush out and play it. Like, I think that if you're a Final Fantasy fan or, like me, like, I'm a pretty lapsed Final Fantasy fan. I wouldn't say that I'm, like,
same.
A huge Final Fantasy guy these days. Like, I never played Final Fantasy 15. I played 14 for, like, 2 weeks, and then I was done with that one. That's the online one, if you don't know, Joe.
Head.
Yep. Never played any of the 13s other than, like, the first couple hours of 13.
Same.
But here's a question.
Like, the last
though,
one
like,
I played in earnest was Final Fantasy 12, right?
But
so.
Here's a question. The whole point of 7 was it was allegedly the best game of the series.
It's the most beloved game of the series,
okay.
At the very least.
So people are really just buying / playing it for nostalgia, correct?
Yeah.
On some level, yes.
Which is nothing wrong with that, because
yeah.
I mean, I literally said I'm playing Bioshock over again for nostalgia.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a good thing, but it gives it the hype, which is why it's been released and re-released and so many times. It's a game that apparently everybody loves. So, like I said, I want to give it a shot. I just don't know when.
Yeah, fair enough. I've been waiting for a remake of Final Fantasy VII. Probably solidly for 10 years, but probably before that I was hoping they would redo it. Crisis Core, when I finished that, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, I probably have, but when that I finished Crisis Core on the PSP, I honestly thought they were going to be remaking Final Fantasy VII for the PSP, because the yeah. Crisis Core ends and then goes into the opening cutscene of Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
And I think it even showed the logo.
Crisis Core is a great game.
It was so good. And I was like, they're going to do it. And I was so excited. And they just never did. And they never did. And they never did. And they finally have now. and so I'm not sure if you're fully aware, Joe. This is a complete remake. It's not at all.
Oh.
Like,
yeah. This is ground up remake. Like, this is
okay,
not
see,
Final Fantasy
VII. See, I didn't know that.
So, this is, like, that's what I was trying to say before. Like, And the first mission is almost identical, except it's a 3D action rather than having a turn-based random encounter type battle system. That's the big difference. Obviously, you're probably aware that Final Fantasy VII wasn't 3D. It was fixed camera and pre-rendered backdrops and stuff. But
yes.
So this is full 3D world. That's the big difference. But then after that first mission, which is a great start, like it's one of the best starts of a video game, the way it just starts off jumping off a train and straight into the action, it's great. After that, it moves on, the story moves on quite quick, whereas now there is actually your character is missions, you do side missions that you go on quests to, because you're a mercenary. Whereas in the original game, the whole mercenary part never gets lived out. You're basically a mercenary once and then the story continues, whereas now you're actually working to earn money for yourself, and so there is actually a very big shift in the actual gameplay and the way the story is told.
Okay.
So it's very, very different, very, very different, but it's the same core story still there, which is cool.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, it's outstanding so far, like, boy. This game.
And that's the thing, like, to it's very like normal in gaming kind of tropes, like the missions are kind of just like little missions you do like in any kind of open-ish world game these days, but the there is a lot of flavor to the Final Fantasy world that they've created. Midgar has so much depth and character. And I just like that I can actually see Midgar. Like in the original Midgar, the cutscenes, there's like four houses on top of the circle on the big floating disc. But now it's like a full city and you can actually see and feel that. And you're in a slums. You're literally in like a slum. And you see it a lot more. It's great.
Yeah.
And the materia, I thought was interesting. I was worried they wouldn't keep the materia system the same, and they have.
Yeah, it seems like it's more or less the same.
Added,
yeah, because you like leveled up the materia to learn the better versions of the spells,
yep.
Right? In the same way.
It seemed to happen quicker. I've already leveled up a couple. That seemed to happen a lot quicker.
Yeah, it kind of seemed to me, and I this is just from like not paying attention to this, but it seemed like the things that you use more level up faster.
I
don't know if that's actually true or not.
I think it's still it's just AP still, and you get AP for killing things. So
sure.
I think it's living up quicker because it's a shorter period of the story, whereas the original, it had a last 80 hours right to the end of the game, whereas this has got a last to the end of this story section, I guess.
So I'm wondering about that. Like, you know, like I'm sure people know already, but like, it's going to be really weird. Like, how do they build on this game, like having an end game, right? Like combat and like ability wise. Going into part two, which is just straight up continuing the story, right? It's like the same problem that a lot of video games have when they straight continue the story. Like that's gonna be like the issue for like Breath of the Wild 2 whenever that game comes out. If that game is just a straight up sequel to Breath of the Wild, like how are you gonna justify starting me without like the Master Sword and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think the second part of this will just bolt right into it. I don't imagine them. What you'll probably find is all the parts will bolt together, and then once it's all complete, there'll be an additional piece that comes that will be like Game Plus or something.
Sure.
That'll add in. Because if you look at the kind of tale that was on 15, it's fucking massive. Because technically 15, they did so much content for it post-launch, it's unreal.
Yeah, they put out like three bonus chapters or something like that, right?
Yeah, because everybody moaned about the end bit of being the corridor rush, so they started, they kind of reworked all a lot of it, you know, and a lot of people's criticism, they added in, like, they made things that, like, totally made it easier to play and stuff, and then on top of that, you had the event stuff, so you had, like, the Assassin's Creed event and stuff, so God knows what they're going to do with this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I definitely think the core game will just be an addition, a bolt-on to the, I think they'll just, because I don't think you'll get to the end and then they'll strip you your powers for the second one, because that's just mental.
That would
yeah,
be weird.
Yeah, that's the concern, right?
I think you'll get an old school style to be continued screen.
Yeah,
and okay. Then that'll be and it'll be like Final Fantasy will return.
Yeah, and like then follow up question on that is like, are the future installments of Final Fantasy VII sold as DLC for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I think they'll be full price numbers.
I think they're going to be... I think it's going to be separate games.
You think it'll be separate? Because that's the thing, is that like at some point, like, is it going to be separate installs, or like will they...
Well, the mere scary thing is it going to bridge generations?
Yeah, right. Well, it definitely is, right? Like, it has to now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be... And maybe we
yeah, I mean, because Part 2, like, definitely isn't coming out on the PS4 and Xbox One.
Well,
I mean, depending on when it comes out, maybe it'll be a cross-gen, but, like...
So how does that work? How do they handle your save?
Right. Especially, if you're someone that goes from the Xbox One to the PS5 or the PS4 to the Xbox Series X, right?
They'll just make you buy a whole new Part 1 all over again. It's just
yep, probably.
What's going to be.
And they might, what you might find is they might do the Shake and Bake Mass Effect 2 thing. PlayStation and get an interactive cutscene that lasts 15 minutes and it defines your power and level and stuff.
There are other games, like Disney's done it, where your saves can cross over platforms because they can save them. They're slaved on the cloud.
But to be fair, but as well, it's also in PlayStation's wheelhouse, isn't it? So it's only their ecosystem they need to worry about at the moment. So that, I don't think you'll see it coming out on other platforms.
Oh, it's a year exclusive. It's already been announced for Xbox, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently there was like some video right before the game came out that was released that they at the bottom of the video, like they had like the text on it that said the gameplay shown on PC. So that game is definitely coming to PC also.
The PC is a bit easier platform, if you know what I mean, because technically the PC is always evolving, so it's not going to be a problem. Whereas I don't think you'll get the Xbox version until the Xbox One. The Xbox Series X launches.
Yeah.
And then you'll get that because it'll be easier to keep it in that ecosphere than in... it becomes muddied, isn't it? Because the Xbox Series X games are going to work on Xbox One.
Well, that's the thing. I think there'll be an upscale version available for the next PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
But
another thing about that is that this game looks fucking stunning with HDR on. Like, boy. When it pulled the camera back to like show the Mako reactor, like the Mako coming out of the reactor, like, boy, does that game look nice. Does that just look beautiful?
Yeah, very good. I guess the really concerned side of me is that they've said that there's gonna be more additions, but the reality is they only could kind of conceptually come up with the Midgar game, and they haven't actually made plans.
What you hope is that
they've already done most of it.
The Midgar section was like their proof of concept, was like, okay, we can actually do this. Like this is a real game that we can make, and then the future installments will come out quicker because they've done all of the legwork on the engine and like the models and stuff for all the main characters, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping. My hopeful side is that they've kept it quiet because they want to kind of bring the epic reveal. And like, oh yeah, episode 2 is out in 2 months' time. Like, I really hope that's the case. But I don't think it'll be
2 months.
But you know what I mean?
Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't
yeah.
be surprised if it's next year.
But my nervous side is thinking it could be years.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it'll be as long a wait. I think it's mainly a case of proof of concept.
It definitely won't be 5 years, I don't think, but then again, this is Square Enix we're talking about, so.
But then we're back into the Resi scenario, isn't it? Because technically Resi 3 uses half the assets of fucking Resi 4, Resi 2, isn't it? So probably the same as this, half the assets can be ported into the world, and I don't see, part of me thinks it's really awkward if they're going to do it like, right, we've done this bit, now we start work on this bit. I think it's a case of, we're making the game. And basically somebody else is coming in and going, right, cut point, ship it, cut point, ship it. It's the Matrix 2 scenario, isn't it? We're going to film both films at the same time, then cut them up into different films, and they'll all both be shit, and nobody will like them. That's fine. Just go with that.
Well, this is good, though.
But I think that's... Do you know what I mean?
I mean, they did that with Lord of the Rings, though, and those movies came out okay.
And then they did The Hobbit. Enough said. Well,
let's not talk about that.
I mean, that's plenty.
Hey, Lord of the Rings is the only one that we can talk about.
Yeah, because Charles was in it.
Exactly.
That's why we talk about it. Oh yeah, Joe, by the way, Charles was in Lord of the Rings.
Nice.
It was fun. But yeah, getting back to the materia leveling, like, that's the thing, like, are they going to let you get to level 5 fire, like, you know, like the elements, or is that gonna...
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the thing.
Or if it will, like
cross over to the next level.
I don't know, man. It can't just, like, lock you out, right? Like, there's no way that they're gonna show you, like, oh, you can level this up to this level, but, well, you can't actually level it up to this level in this game. That would be crazy.
Well, no, I don't think they will stop you there, because if you grind, there's no stopping you, but I don't think that will happen. Yeah, yeah. But just you'll have something more powerful, but I'm more, if you play the game normally and didn't grind, is it designed? I'm wondering if I'm going to get to fire level 5 by the end of the game, or is it going to only get to level 3 with normal gameplay because they want you leveled up after? Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah.
Like in the next edition. But and on the materia, like what I want to bring up, they've added new materia in, and I've done really well because they seem to fit nicely, and they kind of add things to the gameplay of the more action-y version of it. Like the chakra one is kind of cool, and then the auto heal. It makes sense. I don't think that was in the original. Was it?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
But there's an auto heal one, which allows your non-played characters to automatically heal using their action point. Whereas it doesn't trigger if you're the playable character. Like if you're acting as that person, it won't trigger automatically. You still have to choose to heal. But yeah, it works quite nicely, the new additions to materia. But I've already leveled up Chakra, which is Tifa gets when she hits her starting materia, is already level 3. Like three.
Tifa, by the way, Tifa is super fun to play as.
She's badass.
Yeah, she's really awesome.
Yeah, she's real strong. She's stronger than Cloud. I never mained Tifa, but I think she... If you have more choice, I don't know how much choice we're going to have with characters, especially in this first episode. But yeah, she's definitely going to be one of my mains as the game progresses. Yeah, it's good. But yeah, I don't know. And also, you don't get materia. They don't have baby materia now, from what I can tell. You know, like in the original, when you've maxed out one, you got a free new one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got a baby materia.
Well, have you maxed anything out yet?
One, yeah. Okay. It's only a 2-level one.
You just have it mastered. You don't have like a
yeah
a bonus one or whatever.
No, that I can. Not that I've. So I've gone and checked, and I can't see it. It's one of the 2-level ones, like one of the support ones that only has like just one upgrade. So
Well, not all of them made the baby materias either, though, right? Like, wasn't it only like the
green ones,
the major ones that made babies?
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just the green ones that made babies.
Yeah. So who knows?
But
we will find out and report back probably by the next time we record this podcast and we have both finished that game.
Yeah, it's good though, and I'm hopeful to see what they do. I think they're going to tell a slightly different story, and kind of retcon it a little bit to make it a more of a closed scenario just in this game.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen some. I haven't seen any spoilers, but I've seen some people saying that they're excited for people to get to the end of that the end of this game and talk about the ending because it's interesting. But so I'm sure it's going to be a very, very weird ending to this game.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
But yeah, so we've been recording for about 2.5 hours. You want to wrap it up?
Yep.
it's been a long podcast.
All right. I like fun of these.
It's okay. Do you guys give hitchhikers food by chance? I mean, I'm getting a little hungry.
You getting pretty hungry?
Yeah.
I have had your girlfriend's poisoning. Cooking. I think you'll be okay.
True. And I do like the food poisoning. I'll take that too.
Cook. You what?
Somebody said something about food poisoning. I'm okay.
That's
with that too.
Have. Plenty in that.
I'll take
you
it.
Can have that by the truck.
I'm a good cook. Thank you
all
very
right,
much.
Joe, thank you for being on. This was super fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Why don't you once again tell us where we can find you on the internet? Tell us about your podcast.
Sure can. The podcast is called Comic Book Rundown. You can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown. And like I said before, we cover comic book story arcs one issue at a time. So it's one issue, one episode. Episodes run about 10 to 25-ish minutes. And that's the main feed, and then I just started up the Chitty Chats, which is just basically me talking with anybody that's interested in talking with me for half hour to 45 minutes or longer. I'm going to try to keep it on the 45, but it just depends, honestly. If you like comic books, we delve into DC, Marvel, Zenoscope, IDW, Image. I've got a list of books we're hitting. I know I've got a few more recordings coming up, and we're going to be having a few good stories we're going to be covering. But if you guys have any ideas, that's honestly not DC or Marvel, because I kind of have those set. just, you know, hit me up on the socials and let me know, and we could cover it.
We need to record a podcast about Bloodshot now that we saw that movie.
That's true. Yes, we could totally do that.
As we talked about on the last episode, last movie I saw in theaters before before the world shut down.
I'm not ashamed that was the last movie. That actually
no, me neither. It was a good choice.
It was pretty good. Yeah, I think it was good because you and Ryan were there, and we just kind of riffed the entire time.
Oh yeah, that's the best way to watch those movies, right? I'm pretty sure we annoyed some other people.
Oh yeah,
movie,
I think there was like people behind us that actually did shush us.
Naughty.
So yeah,
but yeah, and yeah, I'll there will be links to your podcast and stuff in the show notes for this, so
yes,
people can find it easily.
Yay,
Stuart, what about you? Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me under FuryAC3 on Twitter and everything under the sun.
Indeed. Charles?
Pew, pew.
You can find me in my kitchen. I'm off to make Easter eggs and Easter chocolates with my kids.
Okay, but where can we find you on the internet?
VaderVanOdin.com has links to the places.
You can find them crafting a spoon out of a coconut.
And you can find me at Wade Brian R on Twitter. The podcast is Gamers Galaxy Pod. The website is gamersguidetothegalaxy.space. Is that correct?
Yep.
I think so.
Yep. And we didn't talk about this on the last episode, I don't think, but we do have new theme music. Stuart, if you want to shout out the creator of the theme music.
Yeah.
Feel free, since it was your doing.
If you're a UK podcast home brewer, odds are you'll have come across Kevney Moore. He is quite prolific within the kind of homebrew community. He's done a lot of work making podcasts himself. I actually was on a podcast with him many, many moons ago. He hosts a movie podcast called Film Guff just now, which is quite a prolific movie podcast. I guested on a special one where we talked about Black Rain. And he's a composer, DJ, stuff in his spare time. So I reached out to him, and he delivered a pretty fun, epic, serious sounding theme tune for us, which I believe fits the mission directive of the
yes, as we are in space after all,
Ghost of Kojima. So. Yeah, she's got a good tune that she goes through space.
Yeah, and if you send me their links, I will get those in the show notes also.
Yep, will do. Yep.
And I think that'll about wrap us up. So there's only one final thing to say that everyone forgets except for me.
Hey, don't remember because I wasn't here.
Get your gamepad. Well, Joe didn't know.
I don't remember because I don't listen. Was that a last minute revelation?
Well, we stuffed that up.
Yep, great job, guys. All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Catchies.
Bye.
Pew, pew.